Coming up on Emulate This.
Coming up on Season 3, Episode 8 of the Emulate This podcast, Chris Matthews joins us on the show. Chris is an art director over at Microsoft Studios, where he's working on things like the HoloLens AR. He's also been art director on the Star Wars franchise for console, the Gears of War franchise, among many other things. He's also a handheld console aficionado. He's got a huge collection that he shows off on his YouTube channel called the Pocket Legion, where he's got a lot of these really odd and strange handheld consoles. We're going to have a big conversation towards the end of the show about handhelds that Chris is going to lead up. We're also going to play another game of Name That Tune, and that's always a good shit show. And also, Chris is going to tell us a little bit about his career in the gaming industry. All right, let's start the show.
Wow, that's a lot of potatoes.
Podcast Season 3, Episode 8. It's great to be back in the studio, gentlemen. It's been a little while. Chills in the air.
Feels good.
Eric, you got the Flyers shirt on?
I do.
Hockey started up. How you doing, man?
Good, good. I'm fully aroused, by the way. Just so you know.
Well, we have a great show on tap right now.
We do. I also, since you mentioned my Flyers shirt, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Gritty.
Oh my God, Gritty.
Our new mascot.
Our new mascot, yeah.
How, I want to hate it so bad.
The scary Muppet.
Have you guys seen... Go ahead.
I want to hate it, but it's so ridiculous that I love it.
Have you guys seen Critters? The movie Critters from the 80s?
There's like three of them.
He looks like the guy from Critters.
He does.
Only orange.
Scary fucking googly coked out eyes. Whoa.
Yeah.
Mike, how you doing?
Uh-huh. Good.
Doing all right. And Rory.
I'm excited to be here.
Great. You got the nice shirt on today. Well, the aqua marine, right?
Well, we're going to say why shortly.
That's right. We have a special guest on the show. This guy is very talented. Guy in the, I guess, gaming industry right now. He was the art director on the Gears of War franchise. He was the art director at EA on the Star Wars franchise. Currently, he's the art director at Microsoft Studios. He's working on things like the Microsoft HoloLens, augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
That thing looks fantastic.
Cool.
I've seen videos of that. Looks amazing.
Very cool.
And he's also an aficionado of handheld consoles. And he collects them, really knows his shit. He has a YouTube channel called the Pocket Legion, where he's the host and, you know, shows his collection off. He's Chris Matthews. Chris, what's up, man?
Holy shit. Wow, way to blow smoke on my ass. Thank you very much.
No pressure to be brilliant.
Yeah, not at all. I have to just say, seeing as you're fully aroused, I actually am pretty priopic right now. So, it's nice to finally speak to you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have you on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for ruining your otherwise excellent reputation by coming on our little program.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A true professional we have here.
More qualified than any of us.
A little bit later in the show, Chris is going to drop some knowledge on handhelds. So we'll have a big discussion about that. Before that, we're going to play Name That Tune.
We're bringing it back.
That's right. We're going to do NES title tracks.
Title screens.
Title screens, right?
Title screens.
All right. Title screens.
Or themes. Title themes.
Title themes.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, you ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
I know
always.
How you feel about this.
I have
this.
No patience. I just skip right through the title screen. Hey. Let me get to the action.
No patience.
No,
fuck it.
I couldn't tell you.
How you feel you're going to do on this, Chris?
I'm going to do terribly.
All right.
Back in the UK, like, we're all over our microcomputers.
Exactly.
We didn't have those.
I was just going to say, you didn't have an NES.
I'm going to try.
Yeah. And he's at a disadvantage here. And then we'll do the Odyssey.
We're actually going to play Amiga Edition today.
There you go.
Oh, snap. All right, I'm down.
All right, he's got it.
But first, let's learn about our guest a little bit here. So, Chris, you want to fill us in a little bit about, I guess, your work history, just, you know, what you do in the gaming industry currently?
All right, let me get my CV out. All right, yeah, so I suppose I've been making video games for about 18 years now. Started off as an engineer. Turned out I didn't like that very much, an industrial engineer. Basically had a bit of work doing some overspill stuff for Konami, working on like early cabinets, made maybe the world's worst video racing game called Valve Limit, but kind of moved on from there. I actually started working for an independent company called Free Radical that was owned by the guys that basically invented and wrote GoldenEye for the N64.
Oh, okay.
And we went on to make a couple of games, Haze, the Time Splitter series came out of there, and of course the ill-fated Star Wars Battlefront 3. And after that, I worked on for Crytek, so the Crysis games, Crysis 2 and Crysis 3, Summer Homefront, The Revolution, and then moved to Vancouver shortly after that to do, well, what was a new IP, but shortly afterwards became Gears of War UE, Gears of War 4, and then moved to Montreal to work with Jade Raymond and start the Motive Studio, where we made Star Wars, the campaign for Star Wars Battlefront 2. And yeah, just this year came to Seattle to work on HoloLens and VR stuff. Yeah, and hopefully some more video games.
Mm. Awesome.
So you kind of know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, I'm fucking blacking it, mate.
I would like just to gloat to all the haters and to finally say that we've made it. We actually got somebody that knows something, so fuck all you that didn't believe in us.
There you go.
Wait till the end of this conversation and we'll ask that question again.
Chris, you said you were an industrial engineer, okay?
Yeah.
So that had nothing to do with video games.
Nothing at all.
So
no. There was no video games courses back in those days. So,
right. So where you are now, was it something you always wanted to do at one point in your life, or it was a left turn somewhere where you just got into this?
No, I was a huge gamer growing up. I started off with a Commodore 64 back in the day, and really wanted to get into handheld gaming, which was of course very, very expensive back in those days, especially in the UK. So I'd always been a big gamer, and I had an aptitude for art, but didn't really know what to do with it. Probably had too many expensive habits just to become a fine artist at the time. So I kind of thought, well, engineering seems kind of cool. I can draw stuff, learn how to design things. Hmm. And I did that for a couple of years. I designed a bunch of stuff, hinges for Jaguar cars. And probably the most fun thing I worked on was a bra.
Nice.
for a plastic surgeon. Yeah, worst research ever. But yeah, I got into sort of aeronautical engineering, and then it kind of got that shit got real pretty quick. Uh-huh. And I made a decision. I had a friend that just started working in video games, and I don't know, at that point, I never really saw a path into it. There was no games courses. There was no way. There was no hey, if you do these things, you can go and work at a games company. Hmm. It just so happened that this guy that I'd been to uni with started at this Free Radical company just down the road. All these super cool guys that had just come off the back of the GoldenEye and were riding pretty high on that. They'd made the Time Splitters franchise, and who doesn't love fucking monkeys in armor suits, so I was that's where I should be. And I got there, and it was really interesting. There was a lot of crossover stuff, especially with the 3D art. So yeah, and that just plowed my future.
How small is the video game industry now compared to what it was? Is it something it's still an everybody kind of knows everybody kind of industry, or is it not like that anymore?
I think it is still like that, especially amongst artists. I mean, I suppose stand-up comedians, the ones are really, really famous. But everybody kind of knows everybody inside that group. I mean, my Facebook has a couple of hundred artists from all over the world. Some I've met in person, some that I haven't. You tend to hear about reputations of people. You look to try and work with people when you can. So yeah, I mean, the world's definitely got a lot smaller, but then there's a lot more conferences these days as well. So people travel, we all meet up at GDC, hang out and chat and stuff.
Interesting. So you've had a lot of big things on your resume. I'm curious to know if you applied to them and they were given to you a traditional job, or you assigned this work from some type of management level. How do you get these big ticket items? I'm curious to that.
I think most of it is blind luck, but some of it's a little bit of careful selection. I mean, I knew going to Free Radical in the first place, just the reputation that the owners had, and stuff that I knew from inside the studio, how they looked after their teams. It was going to be a cool place to work. But we were working on a totally different project. I mean, it was, it wasn't Time Splitters 4, but it was like another very cool project we were just working on in the back burner. And then out of the blue one day, it was revealed to the studio that like we were going to be working on Star Wars Battlefront 3. And that was amazing. You know, there was this awesome thing, like the directors bought everybody in the studio a Force Effects lightsaber. You know, it's like super. So there's an awesome video. I mean, it's super grainy these days because it was on a really old cell phone, but like there's an amazing thing with like 130 of us, I think, lighting a lightsaber up in a room at the same time. Which is pretty amazing. But then going on, I mean, it's like I came to Vancouver to work on a new IP. And after a short period of time working on that, we had attracted so many cool people. Like, I think Microsoft had evaluated the studio and basically said, shit, there's this new IP. You know, there's the Gears of War IP. And they went and bought it. And, you know, we hired the right people. And then the rest of that is history now.
Mm. So they Microsoft said, specifically, we need you to do this, or you saw the project advertised and you went, this is something I got to get on. Like, I'm curious to how this works, because it's not a 9-to-5 type of job,
mm-hmm.
not only just in the hours, but like compared to, say, a non-art, you know, art is its own thing. Like, it's different than, say, like if you were like a clerk working somewhere, or, you know, or a mechanic, or a typical office worker. Like, the work is given to you, and if you want out, you apply to something else. So I'm just curious how the art side of the business works.
Yeah, like when you're done, you know, a project, is you have to kind of search for something else, or is usually something back ready to go?
So I suppose it depends which kind of company you're at. I mean, if you're at a smaller company like the independents, so let's speak about Free Radical, where I started off. That company would, you know, they would make their own games, and Star Wars was one of the first games that they made, which was where the publishers had kind of approached us and said, your studio's got this great history, do you want to make this multiplayer shooter? And of course everybody went, yeah, of course. And then you know, like we'd come off the back of making Haze, which was another kind of independent game which the publishers had then taken on. But in terms of like how do artists get the jobs and maintain themselves, you know, a smaller company, quite often people will have to go out and hunt projects. So as you get to the end of the project, the company as a whole starts looking out for new projects if it's an independent company, and will either like start making demos and pitching them to publishers, you know, and it might be demos of games that are really well known or something totally new, and they'll pitch them to a publisher. In terms of like how artists move around though, it's really about just being like prolific. So, you know, you come home from work, you make your own artwork, you do your own stuff, you throw it up on places like Polycount and CG Hub, and basically you get a little bit of a reputation from yourself. You know, if you're not too much of a dickhead, then people kind of want to work with you.
Well, we're out. All of us are out. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, like me on many occasions have been out for exactly that reason. But this was just an occasion where I had a friend who happened to be out in Vancouver, and they were like, well, Microsoft Vancouver is just becoming Black Tusk. They were just renaming themselves and like upgrading and becoming this game studio to make a new IP. There was a teaser of it in like 2014 at E3, and Phil Spencer was talking about it. But yeah, so basically he dropped my resume off in their HR department, and then they looked at it. I had the right set of skills. They flew me out to Vancouver. I did a huge interview, came back, didn't hear anything for like months, didn't think it was going to happen. And then suddenly they were like, hey, do you want to come and move out here? So I was like, shit. Not doing anything better.
That's fucking amazing.
It's awesome.
That's amazing, because they wouldn't even let me like clean up after work, like after hours. Like,
you can't even clean the bathroom.
Not with that shirt.
Not even allowed in the building. Sure.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's great. So let me ask you one more question, then I'll move. I'll pass the potato to somebody else here.
Sure.
You work on video games. That's your job. You do the art. Okay. Do you still play video games, or do you consider it different? Like, if you work at a diner, you don't have a sweet tooth anymore. You work in the porn field, maybe you don't want to bang after work.
No, I don't know. Now you're pushing it. Now you're just being ridiculous.
There's a lot wrong with me.
I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah, I play a lot. I mean, there are games that I go to just to like chill out and it's kind of escape. But I also have the kind of, I suppose, like lead artist, art director curse of, you know, I'm the one that's getting shot because I'm staring at like, how the fuck did they do that blend shader on the floor? So I'm kind of staring at my feet and somebody comes up and sticks a knife in the back of my neck or something. But, you know, yeah, I mean, like I got big into PUBG last year. I'm having a bit of a renaissance with Overwatch at the moment. But I enjoy the shit out of like mobile games as well. So, you know, I still play a lot of Super Hexagon and, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You still, even though you work in the industry, you can still do it. I would think that I would want to get away from it, in my opinion. But I guess no. I guess it's a personality trait or.
Video games are that cool, dude. Mm. You could do
well,
them all day at
work. I think
work
you guys touched on this in the past, though. Like, I can't remember who it was who was talking about it, but that whole thing of like, I get the guilt. When I'm playing video games, I should be like, I don't know, feeding the kids or cleaning the house or like, you know, like working on some actual artwork to go in my portfolio or something like that. But I don't know, like you still need to like chill out. I'm like not a big sports guy or anything like that. So, you know, video games is where I kind of get that.
It's all research. It's all research. You're still working.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Was there any game recently that like really caught your eye as an artist where you're just kind of like blown away? You're like, holy fuck, that's amazing.
Well, I mean, I suppose the last game, I mean, actually, I think Epic's done some amazing things, with Paragon and with, Fortnite, you know, like two very different styles, but both incredibly beautiful to look at. And Fortnite has just changed so much since day one. I actually think the Blue Hole Group and PUBG, that's incredibly I can't even figure out how they're managing to stream as much stuff as they are into that world in any single, you know, even sitting at home with a crazy rig and I'm playing it and I'm just like, there's a lot going on, Overwatch is just increasingly getting more and more beautiful every time they drop a new map or something on there. They're doing a lot of work with that. But the thing that really killed me last was Metal Gear Solid 5. I think that was the first game that I had 100%ed without looking at a guide or anything in like 5 years, maybe. Now I'm all about waiting for Death Stranding right now, Koji Arma's new gig that he's got coming up in Japan. Everything about that game, I know the haters are kind of saying it's going to be a bit of a walking simulator, but I don't know. It's got
definitely
a lot of
got
very
some,
cool people in it.
They've bizarre. Got some nice visuals. Bizarre is a good way to put it with the baby.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that even about? I don't think Kojima even knows what that game is about.
What is that even about?
What is this game even about?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like, it doesn't really matter. I just love, as a creative person, I really like being immersed in his worlds. They're just batshit. I love the whole, like, retro style meets future tech thing. That, yeah, that's totally my jam, so.
I understand you're working on HoloLens. That's kind of fascinating to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's mostly just for developers right now. Is there a plan to bring that to the masses for entertainment purposes?
I think Microsoft's got like a whole bunch of different things they want to do with it. I mean, at the moment, you're right. It's very clearly in kind of like developer territory. I think there's a lot of businesses using it and there's a lot of people developing for it. I mean, that's one of the cool things, that the platform, because it's basically running Windows 10, but you know, it's kind of open. People are developing their own apps and doing really, really crazy stuff with it. It's hard to share because obviously like the stuff that appears in the store inside HoloLens is different than what's inside the store if you go and look in your Windows 10 store on your computer. You know, I hope in time, and I certainly think in the next 5 years, 5 or 10 years, it's like AR is going to be like the thing, you know, like if you work with your hands, you're going to be wearing some kind of HoloLens AR device at work.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You know, like we're going to be, like we teach people how to do stuff. You can do communicating with it. I work on a package called Layout. One of my projects is called Layout at the moment. And it's a, it's basically a 3D design package. So, you know, if you're, I don't know, doing anything from, I don't know, just imagine anything you could design in 3D, you can basically design in this stuff. So spatial design in AR in a real world, you know, it's kind of it's a big deal anyway. If you're into design and art and you're a creative person or an engineer and you're working on stuff, I mean, at some point, you know, if you're an electrician, you're going to be wearing a HoloLens and using this stuff. But then there's a load of really, really good entertainment experiences. My favorite one's called Fragments, where the HoloLens actually detects the room that you're in and then like builds. It's kind of a like detective, you know, you check out the evidence, you figure out mm-hmm. what's going on in this world. But the HoloLens figures out like what your room looks like and like moves characters around dependent on what's going on in your room. So
it's wild. Yeah, I saw a video of that on YouTube. It's absolutely amazing. It's like wild. Somebody just sits on your chair and then somebody else is like on the couch.
Right.
And then they just get up and walk around the room. It looks incredible.
What do you mean they're not there?
No, it's a hologram, but they're in there. Like, somebody would go over and sit in the couch and just sit there and talk.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's nuts. Dude.
A virtual person will sit down. Yeah. Not like a Skype call and, like, that avatar will sit down.
No.
Like, an AI will talk to you.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. I know where your head's going. So, Chris, besides porn, what are you most excited about AR in general or the HoloLens? Fragment?
Well, I mean, I think it's the possibilities right now are the most exciting thing. You know, like the technology is bleeding edge, and you know, like it's similar. Like if you read anything about HoloLens, you basically get two camps. You get like the people that are super excited about it because they see the possibilities of where it's going to go. At some point, you're going to put a pair of sunglasses on, and you're going to be like Iron Man. You know, you'll be able to know everything about the person you're talking to. You'll be able to play games, you'll be able to watch everything, and it'll be right there, and it won't be like an obtrusive big headset that you're going to wear. Then the other camp is like, well, the field of view isn't very good, you know, and like starts to complain about like where you're at with the technology. But you've got to fucking remember, you're wearing a headset where you can see holograms in the real world.
Yeah, one
and
day,
walk around them.
Our lifetimes, it will be like Star Trek, where there'll be a holo deck, not a holo lens.
Right.
You'll walk into a room that has the projectors all around you.
We're a few years away from...
I mean, Elon Musk is doing loads and loads of stuff. I mean, there's patents. All the big techno companies are, you know, like patenting everything around this. I don't think it's going to be outside of our lifetimes. Like the reason why I've sort of taken a break from games to like really like look into this stuff is because I kind of feel like in the next 10 to 15 years, you know, it's going to grow so huge. It's going to be pervasive in all of our lives one way or another, whether it be through like entertainment or just like whatever the shit is you do every day.
It's,
you know,
like it's education. Like
yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Now,
we've done enough shows, right, that we have enough audio of all of us talking to dump the audio in a program and have the words all split up, that if I got full body scans of you guys and I had that headset on, you guys don't even have to be here anymore.
That's
You're
right.
You're fired.
You don't need us.
I have holograms in your seats.
That's a perfect world for you. You don't have to interact with anyone.
Perfect.
You would love that.
Perfect.
All by yourself.
So you find out Eric's hologram is like stuck in a doorway. Great.
Yeah, that thing sounds amazing.
Interesting.
Do any of you guys play like VR?
No, like, I don't have a VR.
I've tried the PlayStation VR. I think they're trying too much too soon with that. I just don't think they're ready for it to be fully immersive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of it's kind of cool, but it loses the you know, the catch pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know. I think if they're trying to, it's kind of a gimmick right now. I just don't think the technology and computers are strong enough, powerful enough.
I don't think the commercial ones have enough power.
Right. But
the ones that are readily available for the average person.
Right. Yeah. Even then, I just don't think they're there yet. I think it's too much, which is why I kind of am more excited about the AR because I think that will come quicker. It makes more sense. It seems more like a first step instead of jumping into the complete
more
VR. Yeah, exactly. I think it's too much with the VR.
Are you going to ride a Pokemon first thing you can do?
Absolutely.
All right.
The first time I ever tried VR, it was porn.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a porn.
That sounds
That was
right.
the first VR I ever experienced.
Wow, that's awful. Where would you find something
like
that?
It was
like
a year
that?
Ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. A lot of people don't say that.
It was at a party.
A lot of people don't say that to guests.
I was like, sure.
Hold on. You were watching porn VR at a party?
Well, it was getting passed around.
It was getting passed around?
It was getting passed around.
You sure it was VR and not a legitimate
show? Shit, man. Changed, you know? Like, you used to hand around doobies at a party.
Yeah, right. Now it's porn.
On the headset. To porn.
I know, right.
Did you get tested?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Ryan's like, hold on one second. I have to.
That is a kind of
it was funny. It was funny because anyone who had the headset on would just go, holy shit. And they'd just be standing there in the middle of the room.
It's kind of odd. Like, I don't know if I'd be at a party. I'd be like, all right, you got to check out this porn. Like,
no,
you know what I mean?
No,
like,
no.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
It's kind of weird.
It was more the technology, you know?
Right,
you
just, yeah.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, you were sharing.
Yeah, yeah, it was something.
It reminds me of that's the original Switch advert, you know, on top of the rooftop in Vancouver where that chick turns up and starts playing her Switch in the middle of that party.
That would never happen.
right.
Now, women that look like that do not play Switch.
Do not play Switch.
I can tell you right now. Not going to happen.
All right.
Well, I got another question for you.
Go.
So, as an artist, is it difficult to work on a project as an artist and then have to walk away from it and it's not yours anymore? What's that like? Because I could never be like a craftsman and like build, like a carpenter and build shelves and cabinets and stuff and then walk, and then there's somebody else's house and I walk away. Like, to me, I'd be like, I really worked hard on this.
Take a picture.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's one thing to get paid, but then it's another thing. Art's different.
Yeah.
I feel like art's different. You put yourself, you inject yourself into everything as an artist.
And then you let the developer bastardize it, publisher. Is that what you mean?
Not only that, but I just, like, you, exactly, that's a good way to put it. You work on something, and it's yours, and you somehow make it yours, or you inject you into it, and then you walk away from it, and then maybe you have no more control on it, and then they just tweak the shit out of it, and it's not yours anymore. What you had at the beginning and what comes out at the end is not the same.
I'm still just getting over the fact that all four of you just went, when you agreed about that just then. That was,
we harmonized.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We're like, we're like boys to men. Yeah. That's right.
We've been in this room too long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just real low growly sexy voice. Okay. All right.
Thank you for noticing.
I think you can't be too bothered about that. Like, there's conservatively on a video game, you could have anywhere between like 100, I don't know. Okay, so let's just say a startup company is 20 or 30 people, but you know, and a small games company might be 150 to 300 people. And then on some of the games that I've worked on, when you're talking about multiple studios across multiple continents working on something, you're talking about 300 to 700 people maybe working on a game. Yeah, millions of dollars going into it. And I think you have to kind of philosophically get in the mindset that, like, you're contributing to like the layers of this product being built up. I mean, a game is a gobstopper of just work, you know, just people just adding layers and layers of stuff on top of it. You know, like so as an art director, I mean, when I used to be a lead artist, I would create like a small vignette, like a little subsection of a level, just a 100 meters square, and spend time and just dress it up as nicely as I could. And then give that to my art team with the concept art and with the team, the work that my other teams have done. And so say, well, this is what it should be everywhere. And then they're going to tear that apart and come back with new ideas. And if you want to be successful and you want to give like play, I mean, like everybody wants to just give players the best experience they can.
Right.
So you look at this stuff and you just draw on it. And then like, you know, one person over here will give you something. One person over here will give you something, and you all just work on it. It's not like the old, like there were times in sort of the older days where somebody would like make a 3D model. Like, let's just say they make a car, and then somebody else would take it and then they would polish the textures on it. And that's just kind of like, yeah, like you say, as a craftsman, somebody else touching your work, it like irks you a little bit. Those people just don't last in the games industry any period of time. You know, you have to want to contribute all the time to this ever-growing like gobstopper of video game that's going to come out. And then of course you get curveballs, because like publishers are very, you know, they might have ideas. Some publishers don't care about anything. Some of them have like their own creative studios that will be like, you've got to do A, B, and C to get this game how we want it to be to sell to this audience.
More money.
Right. And, you know,
make sure this character has Doritos and a Mountain Dew on one hand and the other.
Well, I mean, we, you know, there's games I've worked on in the past where, you know, things have changed because of publisher influence, for better or worse, you know, generally just different, but it's just that they see a bigger picture as well. And it's not always about money. It's also just about, it needs to fit a certain market demographic, or they want to sell it to a certain group of people. And, you know, like, yeah, you can't go and put, I don't know, giant monsters in something that's supposed to be sold to like 8-year-olds, you know. So, yeah, there's that kind of sensitivity in there as well. And it's a lot of moving parts. So, anyway, short answer is you let people fuck with whatever they want to fuck with. You know, the producers and the senior staff will generally try and keep things on an even keel. So that doesn't happen too often. And I think as a leader, like if you're trying to get people to do what you want them to do and make this art that you want to direct, then basically I act more like an editor. I like put the stuff out there, they do it, and I come back and I take the bits that I think fit together the best to make the best experience for the player, right? So
It's interesting because, again, you don't think of art like that. Art is not the business side of art, or like the management part of combining art. Like art, usually when you think of art, it's a creative work, and that's it. Not like the meshing of creative works
sometimes
into a super creative work.
Sometimes, I mean, the film industry is like that. You have tons. You have a composer and a DP, a director of photography, and they might think that that shot needs to be a certain way, and then it comes back where the producer or the director says, no, I want a blue tint to it, and the, you know,
and video games. There's a hierarchy.
Video games are even more so like that. I would think. Like everything.
Well, it's like 300 people, like you said.
My God.
Everybody has an opinion.
You're melding technology, fucking music, you know, actually like fine arts to everything.
We'll just give you like a little bit of context. Like on my Star Wars team, I had like the people that were building the worlds. I had my team that was going out and scanning the worlds to actually like bring real world things back to put in the video games. I had a concept team, a VFX team, a lighting team, a cinematics team. You just kind of like throw all that stuff on top of each other. Yeah. And you get a video game eventually.
You had worked on, Gears of War, the Gears of War EU, correct?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
When you're doing something like that, and you kind of have to take something that was already done, like, what are the limitations that you have to deal with? Is working on something like that more difficult than, say, something from scratch?
Well, I suppose they all come with like different challenges, but that was a bit of a passion project, really, because I think everybody in our studio that started working on that project basically had been big fans of Gears of War the first time around. So We had a bunch of like things we had to figure out before we even like started making anything. The first one was like, we've been given a game to remake here that was one of the biggest game changers in the world when it came out. I mean, everyone knows Gears of War. My gran knows about Gears of War.
She
doesn't have a clue what it looks like, but she knows it exists. And we got given this thing, and you know, there's like superstars like Cliffy B and like all of the people from Epic Games that worked on that game have gone on to become legends in their own rights, doing loads of cool stuff.
And a bunch of assholes from Philadelphia. Congratulations.
Yeah, those guys. But sure. But like so when we got that in, I mean, you know, we started off by going out and getting as many pro player fans that were still out there, and believe me, we flicked a server on, we fired up an Xbox, put the original game on it, fired it up, and we found people playing, and it was like it wasn't just a few, there was like hundreds of people playing. So we started to get in touch, you know, like we have a whole department that reaches out, finds these people, brings them into the studio, and then we just started like, I suppose, Seinfelding them for ideas, basically, like what would you want if we remade this? What would be the best experience for you? And they, like, we uncovered information we had no idea that people would care about. Not on first blush as developers that were coming into this franchise, but they, you know, like people could literally count frames in their head how long it took to get into cover, all the little tricks and exploits with all the different weapons, all the play. You know, even
that's
like
crazy.
Little, yeah,
that's
amazing. Little corners off of like rocks where they would use it to exploit like shots and stuff like that. So when we started remaking that game, we were like, well, we've got to start from exactly this point because we didn't want to change that experience. Mm. Yeah, anyway, so long and short of it is we went and as a studio, we pitched to Xbox that we didn't just want to do a reskin. We wanted to give the fans what they've been waiting for all this time. So we went and remade everything from scratch.
Oh, I believe
we used the original game as a gray box, basically.
There are actually two or three extra or extended levels within the remaster. Well,
yeah, that's right.
There's new content that they made in sections.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a whole bunch of new content in there. But so what we did was, I suppose if you went and brought the Xbox game, it wasn't like the director's cut of the game. You know, there was a few DLCs, and then the PC version also had like extra levels added to it. So what we did was we got all of those extra levels and we put all of that back in and remade all of those as well. And plus we got to like go back and revisit maps like Gridlock, which were just like crazy fan favorites. There was even a couple of really cool things we got to do. There was basically a map in a underground train station where players would go down and they would just do player 2-on-2. Like shoot, it was like shotguns only. They had their own rule set, and if you were playing on these like private servers, you adhered to the rule set, so you couldn't go outside a certain space. And so we figured out all these rules that the community were using, and we just went in and built a map that supported exactly that rule set in the same location, but we made it more like an arena with loads of like barbed wire and lights and stuff, all kind of make it look super cool. You know what I mean? It's fan service, man. People care about all of this shit. And, you know, you go to E3 and, you know, you meet these people and they're like in tears. They're so happy that you care about this as much as they do. You know, it's like that's when you really remember that there's like people on the other side of it. You hear these stories, people getting tattoos, you know, people have been through the worst times in their life and they played this video game and it's got them out of this funk or whatever. Like, that's good shit.
I mean, that's a great idea to go grassroots. Go right to the people that care about it. You know, is that a typical thing, especially when you remaster a game or you think about a sequel? Do you talk to the fans about it normally, or is it kind of the guy, the big shots say, all right, this is what we got to do this time?
I think it maybe depends company to company, but certainly the projects that I've worked on have always been a case, if it's a sequel or a remaster or something like that, we go and get the people that really care about it. You know, like there's no way you can do it otherwise, because you can guess all day, but unless you actually hear them in the studio, like playing your like rough ass demos that you've put together, and like, you know, quite often right at the beginning of a game, you'll build something called a vertical slice, which might be just gray box with no textures on it. It might be very highly polished, but it'll be like a little sample of all the gameplay that you're going to try and do in the game. And you'll spend like a little bit of time making that, and you bring people in and like the reactions are incredible. You know, people get so excited about, seeing these little snippets of what the future of this video game could be.
Yeah.
And then you hear all of their ideas and what they care about and what they don't care about. You get all these emotional reactions as well. I mean, you know what it's like when you play a game from your childhood and it takes you, snap bang, you know, like listening to a song, a game, a film or something you watch when you're a kid, you're like right back there. And it's exactly that kind of reaction. We're just there like capturing all of that, juicing it down, trying to get what we can out of it, you know. And like,
that's cool. That's probably really gratifying to see the reactions.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's great to hear this.
You also get it the other way as well. When you fuck up, if you don't do something right, oh shit, you hear about it now. Thanks, internet.
the internet is brutally honest, if nothing else.
Sometimes it's just brutal.
Usually it's always brutal. It's brutal.
I love hearing this point of view on the show. It's just a totally different, you know, perspective than what we have. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're on the outside looking in.
I know. It's amazing. But you know what? Let's take the heat lamp off of Chris.
All right.
Let's get to the Odyssey.
Let's do it.
Chris, you know what the Odyssey is on our show?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's where we talk about what we've been playing. That's right. The Odyssey reaches all the way across the states. three different time zones.
Thousands and thousands of miles.
That's right.
Of the Odyssey.
All right. Who wants to go first? Should we let our guest go first?
Yeah, our guest go first.
Or has he talked, you know, Chris,
yeah,
you need a break from talking?
Give him a break.
I think he needs a break from talking.
Eric, hit it up.
All right, I'll go. I've picked up Spider-Man.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't really going to begin with. I'm not really a...
You're not a leotard guy.
Not a leotard, not a spandex guy. No. For
contrary
obvious
to what
reasons.
You're wearing this evening.
Yeah. Yeah. So
hold on, time out. My balls is hot.
My balls is hot.
All right, you're my man, Lewis.
I got that.
You're
reference.
My man.
Yeah, I got
that.
The tights reference. On with the big socks over top for the 80s.
So spoiler alert though for Spider-Man, Uncle Ben is still dead. They haven't been able to bring him back. But
God damn it,
yeah,
Eric, what the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know.
I forgot that that was a Spider-Man reference.
They dropped the ball.
I'm thinking he's talking about rice. I'm like, damn, he had rice?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Uncle Ben, Spider-Man's uncle. Still dead. Anyway, so it's got you know, a lot of good villains. Kingpin, mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Negative, Rhino, Tombstone, a lot of them, all your favorites. It's fun. I just like kind of like slinging around. From building to building,
yeah.
You know?
Does it have the Green Goblin?
Not that I've seen yet.
He's my favorite.
I've seen yet. I'm like three quarters of the way through.
Okay.
Enjoying Dr. Octavius is building his suit, so I don't know if I'm going to see him come the end of this or not.
Okay.
But
how is that traversal working out for you? Like, what's it like swinging around? Is it a little bit? Like, the only thing I've played like that is like the Attack on Titan game a couple of years ago. Like, what's it like looking around?
It's really smooth, man. I mean, there's no stutter at all. I wish the only thing I don't like, I mean, I like how fast you can go and there's like multiple ways to shoot yourself off of buildings and it's really smooth. You can move from swinging to running on the side of the building to propelling yourself off of it where you don't feel like you're losing gas. Like you could go forever, you know, which is nice. I wish there's a thing you can unlock where you can do tricks, but there's only like three of them. And I have so much air sometimes that I wish I could just do all kinds of different tricks.
Right.
And you get more XP for doing them. But
I was going to say, do you get anything?
You do. You get a little bit of XP. It's, you know, it's not a lot, but, the combat is good. I'm growing tired of it though, I will say, mm-hmm. by this point in the game.
Repetitive.
Yeah. Well, and because I'm one of these like, completionists. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
He can be pedantic.
Kind of a completionist. So if ever I see anything on the map, like they'll be like, oh, the cops need help. Like even if I'm in the middle of a mission, it's like, oh, well, the cops need help. I can't do my mission now. I got to go help the cops. So you help the cops 100 times and it gets old, you know?
Yeah.
But I have this thing in my brain that tells me I have to go help the cops.
Is that like the same thing as the game you were talking about before where you had to stop a mission and then you would go back and the mission would be over?
No.
State of emergency.
Right. State of decay too. No. That was a whole different
animal. So if you help the cops, you can go back
to what
you were doing.
Right. It doesn't screw up my other mission by helping the... Right. And I don't feel overwhelmed by that. It's totally optional.
All right.
Right. Whereas in State of Decay 2, none of it was optional. All
fucked.
Had to get done, yeah. And I had to do it in a certain amount of time or people would die, and it was just overwhelming. With this, it's optional.
Okay.
But I can't help myself.
Right. You gotta do everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, the cops need help, so mm-hmm. we're going to help the cops. But, yeah, I'm still enjoying it. It's losing its luster a little by this point in the game with the combat. I don't know. It's good, though. Yeah. I'd still recommend it.
Cool.
Maybe not at full price, but again, I'm not a superhero real fan. Mm-hmm. Batman's pretty much the
a PS4
only
exclusive.
Thing
Batman's
got your heart. Correct. A PS4 exclusive.
PS4
sorry, Chris.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Mike, how about you?
So I've still have been playing XCOM 2, and I actually I wasn't going to talk about it because I mentioned it on the last show we did, but something happened, and now I need to talk about something.
Mm.
So
get it out, baby. That's why we're here. Hug it out, bitch.
I need an adult.
So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of known that XCOM is generally a difficult game.
Sure.
Correct.
All right. It's a frustrating game.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. That's why I quit.
And eventually, after a while, you start to get used to it and, you know, certain enemies. With this game, though, mm-hmm. XCOM 2, they throw everything at you right away. And you know what? That's fine. It's frustrating. You're losing a bunch of guys. Whatever. You gotta learn their things. Like in the enemy unknown, You, towards the end of the game, you fight this, what are they called? A sectoid, and they have mind controls. That's at the end of the game. You fight little ones at the beginning, and they're really easy to kill. Mm. At the end, they have this mind control thing. They mind control you. They take over a soldier. You can't kill your own soldier, obviously, but the soldier's killing you. You can't go onto an Overwatch feature because you might fucking kill the soldier if the soldier, that shit happens on the first fuck mission in XCOM 2. Now again, all right, fine. We learn how to deal with these guys. We move on. All right. Last week, I'm fucking playing this game, and I have to do a mission where you have to skulljack, which is interesting.
Skulljack.
That is skulljack.
Sounds hot.
Well, that is
a
yeah.
codex. That's like the name of like a Morbid Angel
I'm
album.
Like, I don't
skulljack.
Know I'm, yeah, scared or
codex.
Turned on.
I need an adult now.
So when you skulljack this motherfucker, he turns into something called an avatar.
I'm getting a mental image here. I need a better explanation. I need to know
what a skulljack is.
Yeah.
Somebody Google this.
It's almost like you're putting a USB.
I'm going to draw that.
We need a picture.
It's almost a visual,
like,
goddamn it.
It's almost like you're putting a USB.
We gotta pay for that. Don't do that.
Into
the back of
the
neck.
Back of the dude's neck to get like intel from them.
Okay, kind of like the Matrix when they hook him up to the chair.
Sure.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. So you do it to this guy. This guy, you do it to this codex. The codex turns into an avatar. This fucking enemy, fucking when you hit him, when you fire at him, he immediately moves to another part of the board. Furthermore, he regains all of his fucking health. And furthermore, if he's all the way over here, he's got some little device in his hand that he can fucking attack your sniper all the way at the end of the screen. I lost four fucking guys because of that thing. I lost good people.
Did you lose?
Oh, yeah. Ryan's dead.
We lost a lot of good men out there.
Ryan's dead.
No, Mike. But am I alive?
Eric's dead.
What the fuck?
All of you fuckers are dead.
What the hell?
You're because not... of the avatar.
Should have ate your chunky soup, guys.
Yeah. What kind of leader are you, Mike?
I stopped playing.
Leader, seriously, you at some point, you got to blame leadership.
No, yeah, because
I
you don't
do.
Understand. Because you know what? Here's the thing. What
shit rolls uphill sometimes.
What they tell you to do in a game. And it's kind of like opposite of what you would think. You would think strength and numbers.
Yes.
Well, when you play XCOM, that's not the case. Because if you put everyone together, someone throws all, you know, puts a grenade out there and like three of your guys get hit. So you're all spread out now.
Right.
You've been playing this for like 30 hours. You're all spread out. You know what to do. You know the deal. So now this fucker comes in and he starts teleporting, regaining his health all over the screen and just picking off fucking everybody.
Frustration.
There's no, it's
you're missing
it's
something.
Supposed to be a strategy game.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you might be right. I haven't figured
I
out
like
how to deal with it.
It sounds really, really difficult.
He is a dullard.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I am not a dullard, sir. Anyway, I had to stop playing the game.
Yeah.
I got a little frustrated.
Yeah.
I will
see.
Go back to it. I'm this far into it. I feel like I'm almost finished.
You need to have some fruit right now.
I have definitely
as you would say.
Some fruit. I need some fruit.
Take a
I need
breath.
Some fruit.
So, fuck the avatar. And
unbelievable.
At this moment, I'm a little annoyed with XCOM.
So you're going to put it down for a little while then?
I've put it down for about a week.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'll pick it up. Eagles aren't playing tomorrow. Maybe I'll
find
pick it up
the energy.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Interesting. All right, let's send it back to Chris. Chris, anything you've been playing? Anything, you know, interesting to talk about?
Yeah, actually, I've got a couple of things on the go at the moment. A Japanese buddy of mine got me the Neo Geo Classic Mini 20 thing with a screen on it.
Yeah.
Sent me one of those over. So yeah, I'm having a little bit of a renaissance through all the games on that, but like Metal Slug is the three versions of Metal Slug on there are pretty amazing, and I picked up Garou: Mark of the Wolves as well. So yeah, that's probably my favorite fighting game on there. But yeah, playing the shit out of so I was talking about Metal Gear Solid 5 earlier. Did any of you guys play Ground Zeroes? So you know I mentioned like a vertical slice. That was like a vertical slice. It's like all the gameplay rolled into one little thing. So, you know, if you played that, like the main mission is like 20 minutes long, but there's like four or five different versions of that where you have to do it in totally different ways. And I started off, so I actually went back and revisited it quite recently, and then I've been playing it again this week. So you start off, you know, you're like knocking people out, picking them up, carrying them around, throwing them behind rocks, trying to do everything the correct way. Like, man, I'm fucking John Wicking that now. Like, I'm in and out in 8 minutes. Nobody fucking sees me. I'm sleep darts everywhere. Yeah, it's insanely good. I highly recommend you go back and check that out again if you haven't played it for a while.
It's a great twist ending in that part too, with the bomb and Paz.
Mm. Yeah, and that's it. And all of the stories that are told in that same base are, you know, totally different time zones, different endings, alternate kind of Metal Gear universes. Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute masterpiece. And the fact that you can pick it up for about $4 now or something crazy is is insane. But
they also have it bundled with the actual 5 game now. I don't know what the name is called, but they actually have both the Ground Zeroes and the full game together as one Blu-ray now.
Talking about the Phantom Pain?
I'm talking about the Phantom Pain and the separated first chapter.
Okay.
Ground Zeroes. It's now one disc. It's dirt cheap too on Amazon. It's like $12. Sure. It's $12, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Might be just called the Definitive Edition, I think.
Okay.
It's not original.
Roy, right. Shut up and let Chris talk.
Well, you want to get on with your Odyssey, Roy.
Oh, Gritty.
Chuckle. All right.
Fuck you, Gritty.
Don't you talk bad about Gritty. He'll come for you. You know he'll sneak you in the middle of the night.
Have you seen the Gritty character, Chris?
Is that? Is that something I'm going to have to Google right now?
It's the new Flyers Philadelphia mascot. And when it first debuted, I guess last month, a few weeks ago, it was like a shock to the system when you first see this.
Put him in one of your video games.
Oh, my God.
It's the biggest meme now.
It looks
like the
scariest fucking Muppet ridiculous. You'd ever see.
Oh, shit. He looks like the honey monster on crack.
He does. Those eyes, man. Those eyes are scary. Like, kids are frightened. They have, like,
adults
videos.
Adults are frightened.
I'm frightened. Yeah, they have videos of people showing their kids it, and they're screaming, it's supposed to be for fans, it's supposed to be for the kids, and it's fucking diabolical.
Did you guys see the thing on Conan?
Oh,
where he took the mask off?
Yeah, he had a real, like, crappy version of Gritty. You
right.
Because
mm-hmm. it's makeshift Gritty. Trademark.
Yeah, and then, so he comes out, and then Conan goes, oh, I want to talk to the real Gritty, who's under the mask. And the guy takes the head off, and it's like
scarier than the real Gritty.
It's deformed.
It is, yeah.
You gotta fucking see it. Check it out.
Yeah, fucking hell. If anybody needs an adult, Gritty does. Jesus.
Yeah, oh, man. That's for sure.
That thing is freaky looking. Yeah. Rory, how about you?
Was he done? I cut him off.
Chris, are you done? Rory, I think Rory cut you off there.
Yeah, no, I think I'm all good.
All right.
So I did a bad thing, guys.
I don't want to hear Dark Souls. I swear to God, if you start talking about Dark Souls, we're shutting you down.
You are one pathetic loser.
I speedrun Dark Souls 3 on New
God
Game Plus.
Damn it.
Yes, I did.
It's a good time for me to take a leak.
Yeah, can you just talk about anything else? Just make something
up. I will not. I refuse. I have really, after I did one speedrun New Game Plus, and I was like, that was a lot of fun, I went back to 3, and I realized that 3 is really short.
Short game.
It's really short.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievable how short that game
shorter.
Is.
Shorter. I wouldn't say it's that much shorter.
My total runtime,
right?
8 hours. 8 hours. Again, I was like 120. I finished at 140.
Right.
I was, obviously, the New Game Plus, you do the same amount as when you left. I had like grade 10 stuff, so I had the max stuff. And the bad guys have more life. But it's still like offset, like, so like I'm like making people my bitches.
Yeah, you're still way,
especially in the beginning.
In 3, the New Game Plus is way too simple.
In the beginning, you're incredibly overpowered. Like the first Gundyr, I staggered him. 2 hits, staggered him. I was using a plus 10 Black Knight sword.
Mm-hmm.
2 hits, staggered him. 2 more hits on the ground, dead. Total fight time, like 12 seconds. He didn't even take his fucking weapon out.
You Tysoned him.
He didn't even take his weapon out. Like,
wow.
I felt bad for him. Remember, if you could go back in time to the second season, this is the guy that I spent.
Gotcha, bitch!
That's right. This is the guy that I fought for like 12, 15 times in a row. 3 different characters. Couldn't fucking beat him. Destroyed him.
Yeah.
Destroyed him. I also learned something just for shits and giggles, okay? I'm not going to really fight anybody. I'm just going to run right to the fucking bonfire and then to the bosses.
Okay.
Not actually fight anyone because there's no point.
Right. You have all the XP you could ever need.
Is this a game you're playing with yourself?
It's a game within
a
game.
He's playing with himself for sure.
Me and Gritty are playing with ourselves.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, that's hot.
Well, he doesn't wear pants.
I was scared of Gritty and
neither
I'm not.
Neither do I.
Okay.
I ran through like Irithyll, the Boreal Valley, Irithyll, okay? Mm-hmm. Like a late tier game, and pretty tough guys, lots of grinding, ran through the entire level, 4 minutes. Didn't fight anybody. Mm. Just ran right to the bonfire.
That sounds like fun.
It is hysterical.
Like no, it's not. It's boring.
It's funny how the game is built for you to just say, if you have enough stamina. I mean, I have a full stamina bar.
Correct.
For me to just gas everybody, just go, fuck it. It's funny how it all worked out. Like, they placed people in a way for you to actually run around and take almost no damage at all.
Because a lot of times you have to run back 3 checkpoints to get your souls.
It's, I didn't play like that, but like on the first, but on the second run, again, it was about 8 hours total, housing everybody. Did actually a different ending. I did the one where you die 5 times on purpose and you like hollow yourself out. It's the hollow ending. Okay. And you get married to the one night girl.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
There are 3 endings.
Well, it's not your favorite game, but it's Rory's favorite game.
It is.
Yeah.
After it might be all that
favorite
shit.
Series, right? It's got to be your favorite series.
It's not my favorite.
You have to have.
No,
Rory,
to
be honest.
Rory, you haven't put this much time into any fucking video game.
That's not true at all.
Your job. You don't put this much time in your job.
I work very hard at the laundromat. You take that back.
You do about 15 minutes of actual work each day. Right?
Yeah.
In terms of a series.
Okay.
You're telling me that there's another series out there that you've played more of?
Not recently.
Fallout and Mass Effect. Absolutely.
No, okay, I forgot about Fallout. All right.
Fallout and Mass Effect. I've played the shit out of them in Skyrim.
I forgot.
Hundreds of hours.
Yeah, but Skyrim, I'm talking about an entire series. Skyrim, you've probably put like 300 hours in. I get that. But like, in an entire series. I mean, have you played the second one yet? Dark Souls 2?
No, I have not. I've been like, I can't.
You keep replaying 1 and 3, and you're not going to play 2?
I'm forcing.
He doesn't want to go back to like that bullshit.
To it being hard again. You're scared. You're frightened.
I'm not scared.
Wow, you got him. You got him.
No. I actually really was talking myself into playing Dark Souls again as the butter knife, as the wizard. I really was talking myself into it.
Well, I mean, I feel like that might be a little harder. That's a totally different way of playing
it. It's a totally different way of playing it again. Yeah. It's the cheesier way, although they really nerfed it down in 3, like your skills and when you actually can get the good shit, like the hexes, like that's like 75% through the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short.
Too late.
I had a lot of fun playing it. Again, I purposely skipped everything except for the boss fights. The total runtime is about 8 hours. It was a fun experience. I got to stop fucking playing this game.
Yeah.
I really
You know, I have Dark Souls, and it's on my back burner to play, and it's up
there. But you can never talk about it because
I literally
so much time
can never
about
talk about Dark Souls on this podcast.
Right.
It's like completely reserved for Rory.
I literally had to stop myself from being like, we'll just play the magician class or the wizard class this time.
Yeah.
I literally had to go, no.
We have other stuff to play. You have so many games that you want to play.
Dude, I got to play the second Tomb Raider because I want to play the third Tomb Raider.
Mm hmm.
I gotta stop.
I'm literally watching this, wondering how long it is going to be before you guys do an intervention and like.
Well, your addiction affects me in the following ways.
You wait till what is it? March when Shadows Die Twice comes out. I'm gonna get Shadows Die Twice.
Shadows Die Twice.
And what's that?
Sekiro. Mm-hmm. That's the From Studios next major title.
Oh, okay.
But it's not Dark Souls.
Wait, it's more
from no. It's a Dark Souls S type game, but it's not Dark Souls. It's Samurai.
It's the same mechanics though. Or?
It's similar mechanics. Not
oh,
the same.
I saw that. It's basically okay. I got you.
From Studios. That's what they're called.
It's called From Software.
From Software.
Or let's say Studios.
Studios. Yeah.
Wow, it's From Software.
From Software. Okay.
So I won't dwell on it anymore.
We'll hear it next week.
You'll hear 2 coming up.
Because you're going to say, it's either going to be 2 or you're going to say, at least play it as a wizard.
2, I will redo 2.
2 is difficult in a whole different way.
I
don't want to talk about, I would like to explain what I mean by that, but I think we've had enough of Dark fucking Souls.
It would be interesting.
The people
I can't
in this
believe
room
I'm
have had
this,
enough.
But you know what would be interesting is if we got all the Rory Dark Souls clip.
How many?
Started at the beginning when he fucking hated this game. And now listen to it.
That would probably
Project
be 3 hours of audio.
It might be, Ryan. It might be.
Total 180.
You know, you're not going to do it, Ryan. Are you kidding me?
I might.
You're not going to do it.
I'm going to help him.
The Eagles are off tomorrow, so it's
Ryan, I'll be here.
I'll put it together.
Yeah, right.
All right, for my Odyssey, I took a trip down to a Classic Game Junkie in Glenside.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it was around noon. I'm like, get the hell out of the house. Go down to the game store and check some stuff out.
Remember Chris. Free time, Mike? Remember that?
It's great.
Remember leisure time?
Yeah, right.
That's fun.
Chris, Classic Game Junkie is a retro gaming store about 10 minutes from my house in Glenside.
Yeah.
It's an amazing store. It's one of those stores where you can walk in and spend an hour and a half just walking around.
I remember that. I remember that.
It's fantastic.
I remember that. I do love
that.
They
have all sorts of shit.
Something I love. I love old gaming magazines. Like, I love Game Pros, Nintendo Powers, Electronic Gaming Monthly. Mm-hmm. It's very nostalgic because, like, you know, I went through those when I was a kid. Every month, I would read each issue probably like 20 times. So
it was your only way to get information on games. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the only way.
So they had a whole stack of Game Pros. And nice. I'm like, oh my God. Like in the mid-90s. So I'm pulling these. I'm like taking the stacks apart, and I'm trying to keep them in order. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 10 minutes later, I'm sitting on the floor of the store. over
Isn't that great?
I didn't even realize what I was doing.
Like a fucking 10-year-old. Oh yeah,
I had no idea. That
you going to buy that, buddy?
Dude, the guy...
Were you cross-legged?
Yes. I'm not even.
Did you bring a sandwich?
Yeah,
picnic?
And it's funny because it's over by like the front window of the store. So there's probably people walking by, looking in shops, and I'm sitting on the floor.
Can you see Ryan like eating like iced animal crackers and Teddy Grahams?
That guy must be slow.
I was in this zone. I had no idea what was going on in the store. I'm just sitting on the floor. I have stacks of magazines around me. And I'm flipping through these magazines, and I'm just like, oh my, I remember each article, like Letter to the Editor and all that stuff, because I read those things like 20 times a month, you know, each one. I remembered.
The authors from GamePro, Odd Todd,
it's
and shit like that.
It was like yesterday I looked at these things. Eventually, the guy, it was busy when I was there, but by the time, I guess, 20 minutes, half hour went by, I'm still on the floor. I got stacks all around me. And the guy just goes, how you making out over there, buddy? I'm good. I'm keeping everything in order. Don't worry. I'm going to put everything back the exact same way. I was in the zone.
He should have charged you by the fucking hour.
He should have.
You should have. I would have taken him off your ass. I was like, you got to buy something.
When
now.
I got
off. Wait, did you not buy anything? Did you leave? How long were you there?
You
like
bought
2 hours?
Magazine, right?
Did
no,
you buy
here's
something?
The deal.
You didn't buy
you
anything? Buy anything?
Well, I
you didn't
felt
even
so
buy
bad.
A figurine?
No, I
what
didn't.
A creep.
I didn't know which one to buy. Because there was so much there.
It's a mom and pop shop.
You're going to have to send me the address of it. I'm going to send him some money.
on behalf of the weirdo, the grown 36-year-old man that couldn't stop reading your magazines and didn't even buy one.
Dude, when I stood up, it felt like I just woke up from a nap. I was like, oh my God, I'm in a store. Like, what?
I just snapped out of it.
Yeah, I totally snapped out of it. And then I just went over to a case. I was looking at stuff.
Right, you get on watch lists for that kind of shit.
I know. It was totally weird. But I was looking at an issue from 20 years ago, October 1998. Mm-hmm. The Game Boy Color was introduced.
Ah,
look at that.
How about
in 98?
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Game Boy Color.
It wasn't
and here we are talking about the HoloLens.
You know what
pretty,
I loved about
Game
Pro? Their April Fool's episode, the Lame Pro episodes, they were really
good. Yeah,
funny.
They were good. April Fool's.
I really look forward to this.
No, I'm going to go back there and buy stuff. I didn't know I was going there, really. You know what I mean? I just kind of, I want to buy a whole stack. I don't want to buy one.
Okay.
So I wanted to flip through more stuff. So I'm going to go back there, look through more stuff, and I'm going to buy a whole stack.
Not buy
anything.
All right, hold
on. And I'm going to apologize to the guy for
the
last time I was in there.
What I want
to
know is.
Call the cops on you.
Right. Did you sniff them?
Did they smell like the 90s?
They smelled like Game Pros.
You know he sniffed.
Well, who was the last person to open those things? I said to the guy, I'm like, how do you get these? What do people just drop them off? He's like, yeah, they just drop them off.
Yeah. Like, the pages are all stuck together.
We actually
just got an email. Somebody, I guess a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago, asked us. So he was coming to Philly and he was asking us about, he's Super Meat Boy, actually.
Correct.
He came to Philly. He loved John's roast pork.
Did he? Good.
And he went to a Classic Game Junkie.
Okay.
Yeah, and the guy, like, he said, like, the guy, like, he was talking to the owner.
Yeah.
Showed him, like this, like, vault, like, the like of the basement where there's, like, a ton of fucking shit. So that place has a ton of crap.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, place is great. And when I mentioned it on the one of the previous shows, I didn't say the right street. I said York Road. It's on Easton Road
from
Glenside.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder what the guy's insurance is, because that stuff is irreplaceable. Like, they're not making any more road rash cartridges. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wonder what the guys, cause.
Yeah, that flood, you're fucked.
I mean, like, insurance are assholes. Like, they need, like, itemized stuff to replace the value of stuff. This guy must have, like, 765,000 row spreadsheets with estimates on values and items for inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How else would you get paid back?
That must have taken him forever.
I would assume, though, that, like, the most expensive shit is not in a basement.
No,
like,
it's under glass.
I bet you like fucking 2,600 cartridges are down there.
Forget basement. I'm just talking about a fire. You can't rescue it all.
Yeah.
You know, the most common thing is probably a fire.
He has a lot of like factory sealed games and stuff like that in the back. He was telling me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He told me that once before.
Like when I moved across the country earlier this year, like I it suddenly occurred to me that I was going to be putting all of the contents of Pocket Legion in a box that was going on the back of a lorry and just fucking disappearing for like 6 weeks before it reappears again somewhere. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so like in the end, I called my insurance company because you know, like that was all insured for me. And I was kind of like, okay. But they were like, well, how do you price this stuff? And I was like looking at what I'd paid for things. Mm. But even in like, I don't know, a couple of years or 5 years since I bought something, the price has gone up so much. So in the end, I'm literally like taking pictures of like the products, taking pictures of like eBay sales for similar things and the prices just to try and prove. Yeah, it's insane. Like I don't know how you do that with a shop.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a couple of hundred bits, but like 1,000 things, I wouldn't have a clue how to do that.
And with a shop, it's constantly updating. You're either getting rid of stuff or bringing stuff in. Maybe they have a flat coverage rate, like they pay a year, maybe.
I mean, like an estimate.
I just don't work with insurance. They get you every way they can.
Well,
like,
sure.
I'm sure this guy is whatever it is. I bet you he's way under what it's worth.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or what probably. He thinks he could probably get for it.
Mm.
I bet you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna move on. Hey, Chris. Are you pressed for time or anything? Because we were going to take a short break and just kind of like air out the room a little bit and stretch our legs.
smells like balls.
What happened in there?
It gets a little manly in here, man. It gets a little steamy.
We need beer, too.
Even though it's cold outside.
Yeah, I need to smoke.
Take like a 10-minute break. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, totally. No, I'm all good for time.
Okay, awesome. And then we're going to come back to Name That Tune, and we're going to do some
handheld
talk.
Scheduled program.
All right, guys, you ready for the Name That Tune?
I guess.
All right, let's do it. Chris, you know this, right?
Nope.
You haven't heard us play Name That Tune? The way we're going to do it.
Oh, no. I know the feature, but am I going to be able to do it? Nope.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we're going to find
we'll
out.
Do it.
Don't Mike's worry. I'll be an idiot with you.
Mike's about to test our wits here.
So we're first going to go around, and you're going to guess the first tune, and you're going to pick the seconds on how long it's going to take
you. I can name that tune in this many seconds?
That's exactly right. Chris, okay. Do you want to...
Are you going to do this, what's it called, millionaire style? Do you get a choice, or is it can I find a friend?
You just got to... you just got to go... Man, I look fucking bald in that shot. Holy shit!
I know. God, when did your grandfather get here?
Right, dude! Look at the... Wait a minute. Oh, my God! Wow. Look at that fucking bald spot.
Yeah, we have
this
the...
This is the last time we're fucking putting a webcam
camera up. Yeah, yeah.
Holy fuck.
Now we're
going to
start using this more often.
I look fatter from the back. Look at that. My back's facing the camera. They say the camera adds 10 pounds. Looks like 50.
He's kind of like...
Holy shit.
He looks like a lazy boy with a hat on. Yeah
right? God, I'm like...
All right, well, how about Chris? Give me a number here. How many seconds do you think you're going to name this tune?
I'm going to reckon 10.
10?
10's a lot.
Maybe.
That's quite a bit.
10 is a lot.
Yeah,
Eric?
I'm going to go with 3 seconds.
All right. Ryan?
All right, I'll go with... I'll go with 4.
Rory.
I got to do 2.
All right.
I can do it in 2.
Young right, ballsy.
So, now, there's no penalty for the fuck up. Like, I'm not subtracted a point.
No.
It just gets
one. If you get it, 1 point.
Okay, I just want to
make
sure.
So, who goes first on this?
I'm going to go first.
Rory's going to go first. Everyone.
Hello, guy.
All right.
Okay, I got to delete Chris here.
No, don't delete him.
No, I'm not going to delete
him. Mute him.
I'm not deleting him.
No, he's sending a hit squad to you. Run. Get out of the house.
Jesus, there's people knocking at the door.
You're being swatted.
Wait, maybe Chris should just take off his fucking headphones.
That's what I said. Ryan, don't fuck with this.
All right, I'm not going to fuck
with
him.
There you go. He took his headphones off.
I don't want this to be part of the blooper reel.
Yeah, but then how does he know when to come back?
I'll point
to
him.
We'll wave at him.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a camera.
Yeah, Chris.
Somebody like throw the Saturday Night Fever position or something when it's time to come back.
We'll go like that.
All right, let's do that.
All right, everyone take their headphones off.
All right, I'm ready.
Ready, Rory.
All right, 2 seconds, maestro.
Again.
Here we go.
One more time, please. That is Batman for the NES.
Holy
fuck! Oh my god!
Fuck.
Motherfucker!
Oh my god!
Bloody freaking god!
Do you have the whole clip?
Or 2 seconds.
Oh my god!
Play the song. Oh,
you actually have the entire clip, or just the first 2 seconds?
I have the whole clip. Yeah, do you want to listen to it a little bit?
This is the song I got in 2 seconds. That was all I heard.
Oh,
wow.
That's impressive.
So I got to actually.
I'm sorry. I'm impressed.
This is funny because when I first got this game, that clip would come on. And I kept taking the game out of the NES because I thought it was freezing. And I, so I'm like, what the fuck is wrong
it's
with
way
this?
Too long.
I got a fucking bum copy of this game.
Now,
shit.
In my defense, I really know that song very well. That's a great fucking song. That whole game, every Sunsoft game has great music.
Yeah, dude,
that's
got great
even the
music.
Ones that I don't enjoy, like Blaster Master, even Faster's Quest has good music. For running this game.
Now, Chris, the secret to this game is if you want to go first or be one of the early guys to hear the music, you have to bid low. So you have to pick a, you know what I mean, 2 seconds. Like,
oh, shit.
That
okay.
game, that gave Rory priority.
I'm going lost, but I have to ask, is it just, are we just doing Nintendo or is it Super Nintendo or?
Just NES, yeah.
Okay, just NES. Yeah. All right.
All right. All right. Let's see. Chris, Eric.
I'll name that tune in 3 seconds.
All right, I'll go 4.
Rory.
Give me the deuce.
Ugh. 2. Chris.
Give me the deuce.
Fuck it. 4.
Well, Ryan went 4.
Five.
Okay, 5. Yeah. All right. So Rory's going first.
Rory gets 1 second.
All right, I get 2.
Rory's going again.
I get 2.
All right.
I bid 2, so you got to take off your headset again, Chris.
We can't have Rory just going.
Okay. Here we go, Rory.
Hit it, Brendan.
2 seconds.
Oh, fuck. I knew that, too. Shit. All right, 1 more time, please. Fuck, I know that. What is that? What is that?
Is that it?
Yeah. Come on now.
All right, Chris, you're back on.
I don't have any friends. So.
You lost. You blew it.
He's out. I'm
He's out.
We're
out of time.
I do know that song. If I heard more than 4 seconds, I would have got it.
2 seconds.
I know, but I only had 2.
Oh, all right. Who was next?
I said 3.
You said 3?
3.
All right, Chris, take them off.
Okay.
Here we go. Eric.
You know the song, though. I don't know the game.
All right, hit me again. 3 seconds. Oh, man. Dragon Age?
Well, I don't have any friends. So.
All right, Chris, you can put him back on. I'm going to defer to Chris on this. I want Chris to get in on this.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So, Chris, you're up next.
Give him 4.
Chris, you got 4 seconds, all right?
4? Okay.
Here we go.
Mark.
You want to hear it again?
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Give it me 1 more time. I don't know. It's a bit synthy. Is that like something? It reminds me a little bit of like the Silver Surfer on the NES.
Final answer?
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any friends. So.
That's the no. That's the no.
That's no.
Oh.
No.
All right. How
Ryan,
do you do there?
So you're going to do.
Am I on?
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to do 4 as well.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go, Ryan.
Oh, my God. I can picture the time.
I know it.
I'm surprised. I think I know it.
When he fucks this up, let me guess.
Is it Blaster Master?
No. Well, I don't have any friends.
No. Is it Castlevania 3?
Correct. It's
Castlevania 3.
Oh, man. Wow.
Nobody got it.
Son of a bitch. Right,
do we have the full clip?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Castlevania 3. I knew it. Would anybody have got it if they heard this part? It's not
totally,
Baroque.
Still totally.
Oh, really? You would have figured it out, Chris? Are you fucking around?
All right.
Okay.
Next up.
This is a hard one.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
All right. So Ryan's
bid.
I'm going to go 5.
Roy?
I will do 3.
Give me 2.
Chris.
Give me a 6.
6. Okay.
Number 6.
So Eric goes with 2?
All right, Chris.
Yeah.
Take him off.
Ryan, you take him off.
All right. Here we go.
The headset, because I went straight for the pants on that one.
All right. Here we go, Eric.
Oh. Seriously?
Oh, he struggled.
Do it again. Oh God, Kid Icarus.
That's actually a good guess.
Well, I don't have any friends.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Okay, I'm 3 seconds.
All right, Rory,
3 seconds.
Chris, you're back.
Balls. All right, 1 more time, please. Is it A Boy and His Blob?
But I don't have any friends. So
oh.
All right.
I'm out.
Ryan's next.
Chris. Oh, his headphones on. I told him to put them back on. That's my fault. I told Chris to put his headphones back on.
That's all right. Just leave them on.
That's all right. Just leave them on, Chris. Yeah. You're good.
It's all right.
He's a guest. That one,
he didn't have an NES. Do we understand this? Like,
yeah,
you know
what? That's not really fair. All right.
The new rule is Chris leaves his headphones on. He gets to hear it multiple times.
Yeah, guy didn't even have an NES.
He had a freaking BBC Micro. All right. He only heard two sounds.
We can't grade this hard. Okay. All right.
Well, you guys aren't getting it either.
No, we're terrible.
Here we go. Ryan.
All right, go for it.
No chance.
No. you don't have good faith in me, Mike. It sounds kind of dopey. So I'm thinking it's like a little screwy character in
That's
this
why
game.
I thought, yeah.
Is it Ryan?
He kind of has a weird walk, kind of walks back and forth. I would say I would go with Mr. Gimmick, Mike. Give me Mr. Gimmick.
I don't have any friends.
No? Ah, so. Oh, come on.
All right, Chris. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go on. Give us it. Yeah, it reminds me of something I've played not so long ago. It's not something like Mr. Lolo or something like that, is it?
No.
Adventures I don't have Lolo. Any friends. So.
No, that would be Panic Restaurant.
Panic Restaurant.
Yes.
Jesus.
All right, so the next three.
We're not doing so hot here. Rory's got the only point, right?
Yeah.
All right, here's the next.
We may
right.
not get any.
Hell's going. I got to hit this Makers harder, I think.
Rory is next. Go ahead, Rory.
3 seconds, please.
Chris.
Yeah, two.
Oh, he's getting it now.
Eric,
no, fuck it.
I'll go four.
Four.
All right, I'm gonna go with five. Right,
five. Here we all go, right. Chris.
All right.
Ready? Two four. Seconds.
Go on. Oh shit!
One more.
Yeah, go on. Oh, I've got no fucking idea. Is that?
Well, I don't have any friends. So.
I'm sorry. I hit the button too early. You want to take a guess?
All right. Kirby's Adventure.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have any friends. So.
What did he guess?
He guessed Kirby's Adventure.
Okay.
All right. Who's up next?
I'm up.
Okay,
that's
Rory.
Three seconds.
Yeah. Here we go, Rory.
All right, I'm ready. Oh, this is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Oh, that was such a layup.
Oh, shit. Nice. He's running away with
Mike
it.
Mike Tyson's punch out.
That's right.
He gets that one.
I'm pretty drunk.
Why
so
does
I'm
he always... He always gets these layups on every
I'm going to walk all over
What's
you.
What's going
Yo,
on
Yo, listen.
Mike?
Castlevania 3 is not that hard.
I don't trust you guys. I saw you guys passing a note earlier. I think Mike
I did.
Was giving
I
them
saw
answers.
That too.
I think that's what was going on.
Yeah. Saw that
it was a love note.
Yeah.
It was a love note.
All right.
All right. What round is this?
I don't know what round it is, but who goes? Eric picks.
Yeah, give me 3 seconds.
Three?
All right. You know what? I'm going to go with two. Oh,
two? Rory?
I need
four.
Some points.
Four?
You can't
Chris?
Sit here like this.
One or five.
Of that last one, give me about 150.
You got it. All right. So next.
Right.
Who's first?
I'm up first.
All right.
Ryan with two.
Here we go, Ryan. Two. You ready?
All right. I'm all set. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, that's Oh my god.
You can hear it again.
Mario 2. There we are.
Uncle Rhino's gets a fucking layup.
Man, well that was a layup.
Uncle Rhino gets a
fucking
I saw you guys passing a note.
I appreciate it.
You guys are probably like love notes and shit. Huh? Right?
Asshole.
By the way, Batman. By the way, Batman was not a layup.
Very difficult.
Yeah, Batman was not a layup.
Batman was
that's
difficult.
You did a good job on that, Roy.
Let's hear Super Mario's 2.
Oh, you want to hear the whole thing?
I love it. I love it.
2-3, 2-3, 2-3. The song reminds
so
me of.
Clanky.
It reminds me of being a kid.
It is really clanky.
Playing that game in the summertime.
Clanky.
That's what it reminds me of.
Reminds me of the worst Mario.
Not one of my favorite games. Yeah.
No.
Sore spot over here. Rory.
Oh my god.
Let's move it along.
Ridiculous. Moving along.
All right, next round.
Ryan goes first.
Ryan picks first.
All right, I'm gonna go four, because I don't think the next one's gonna be that easy.
Rory.
Three.
Chris.
Five.
What's left?
Two.
Is two left?
Two yeah. under or more
right,
than five.
Give me two.
Two.
All right, so Arik's up first.
Huge boss.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, God, I know that one, too. Oh, I'm going to kick myself. I'm going to kick myself. Go ahead, do it again.
Get gritty.
Oh, my God, I've played this game 100 times. Is that... The second Zelda?
I don't have any friends. So
I was close, wasn't I? Motherfucker.
Right, who's up next?
I am. Three
stories up.
Always
3 seconds, Chuckles.
Right. I get the franchise right and the name number of the game wrong.
Actually,
no. Okay,
it's the opposite. I
give it
away.
Oh,
the
really?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's the opposite. No, I got the number right.
I'm ready.
Give more hints.
Here we go.
That's Mega Man 2.
Oh,
I don't have any friends.
Oh, shit, sorry, wrong one.
Well, Lottie frickin' God!
Dr. Light is my friend.
Another alley oop to Rory.
All right.
All right.
Get out of
these,
here.
Here's the thing. These last four are... Yes, last four, but we're probably not going to need them.
Are the hard ones?
Are the hard ones.
Okay. Going to need them?
Great. Yeah, because Rory's like running away with this.
Yeah, this isn't
fair. Do I get my coat now? Or
like, okay, so Ryan went last, so Rory?
So I get to pick. I will do 3 seconds.
Chris?
Fuck it.
Four.
Two.
Two.
Oh.
I'll take four.
And Ryan?
I'm going to go with five.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go, Chris.
All right, let's do this. Huh.
<He's thinking.
laughs> That's not a fight. Is that Final Fantasy?
It is not Final Fantasy.
I don't have
Fantasy,
any friends. So.
No. My apologies.
Okay.
All right, who's up next?
3 seconds.
Rory?
Great.
Okay, here All we right. go, Rory.
Hit it, Brendan.
Oh, don't get it. Eyes closed and everything.
Okay, one more time, please.
He does have his eyes closed.
That's tough. Is it Crystalis?
Well, I don't have any friends. So.
Oh, it sucks.
All right. Anyone's game.
All right, it's Eric now, right?
An early SNK game.
Crystalis? Right.
Well, I got 4 seconds?
Yeah. Here we go, Eric.
Go ahead, it's on.
What?
I think I want to take another guess when everybody fails.
Okay, one more time.
Everyone's sure. failing.
Man, if Rory said Crystalis, I'm fucked.
Chris said Final Fantasy?
Chris said Final
it sounds
Fantasy.
Sounds like fucking Final Fantasy.
I did.
I'll take Clue Land.
Good guess, but
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't have any friends.
You always throw Clue Land in, so I figured.
Clue Land didn't have a theme. I looked at it.
Oh, it didn't? Yeah, you wanted to, yeah.
At least I don't think. It might have been like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right, here we go. Five seconds for me. Wow, I don't know. It sounds starry. Kind of like
yeah, a little spacey.
Like I love how he rationalizes.
Kind of like Star Fox.
Yeah,
right?
Trying to talk
star
it out.
In the background.
Is it Star Fox for the NES?
Nice, he was
nice
spelling
scenery,
out a
I
word.
Think.
Yeah,
nice scenery there would be there, right? Maybe a wizard, right? Could be a wizard.
Guess.
I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna make up a game. Well, no, I'm not gonna make a game up, but I'm gonna pick a game I've never played.
It's Battletoads.
No, I'm gonna say. It's Marble Madness the Revenge.
Marble?
This shit!
That's not a real game, by the way.
All right, before Mike spills the beans, let me take another guess for
ahead.
No points.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it Faxanadu?
I don't have any friends. So.
Friday the 13th?
No. this is Blaster Master.
Oh!
Whoa, I said it earlier.
Really?
You fucked it up.
Man.
Now, when you press start, it's the iconic...
That's what I'm waiting for.
Which was funny, because I typed in this. I thought, Blaster Master's a good one, because I know that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm looking for this, and this comes up. I'm like, I don't know this one at all. Going in the fucking game.
Yeah. All right. Good one.
All right.
No, it's...
Who just went? You just went?
Yeah, I think it's Chris's.
All right, so it's Chris's turn. Chris.
Now, typically, okay, three is a good
I'm
number.
Going straight down the line. Give us five.
Five, all right.
I'll go three.
Three?
All right, I'm going to go, I'll go four.
Okay.
I'm running away with this bitch. I'm going to do two.
Why not?
Right,
I'm running away with it.
Getting cocky.
Here we go, Rory.
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
2 seconds. Metroid.
He got it.
Oh,
booyah! Lordy,
if Rory locked this.
Well, do we want to hear the final two, or are we going to chalk this up? Because it's impossible.
It's impossible to beat me now.
Ugh.
Well, what do you think? Do you just want to play them?
You want me to play them?
How about I
play them, and we'll see whoever guesses first.
Here we go. Here's the next one. Nobody's guessing
right,
this one.
You shout it out.
Great. What are you doing?
Is this a Mickey Mouse game, Mike?
Yeah, really.
No, this is Princess Tomato
and the Salad King.
One of of my favorites.
Did you ever play that one, Chris?
It? A legendary? No.
Oh my god, it's so fucking bizarre.
I bet it's terrible.
It's a point-click game. In like first.
Oh wait, I think I did. Did you just throw tomatoes?
No.
No, it's a point and click.
It's like
you'd hate it.
Oh god,
it would be kind of like the old Ultimate, but like you would be able to play it.
Wow, so Worry with another victory.
We got one more.
Oh, we're going to play another
one more.
Sorry, go ahead.
This one might be a little easier. Here it is.
It's Double Dragon.
He got it.
Double Dragon 2. Yeah.
No, right. This is one. Double Dragon.
Double first Dragon 1.
Oh, you're right. Man, see, that would have been nice.
I got one.
You got one.
I got one, Ma. I didn't come home empty-handed.
All right, speech. I hate all of you, and fuck you. So
sounds about right.
All right, let's move on, guys. Ready?
Let's go into handhelds.
And if we're going to talk handhelds, we have the right guy.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Matthews.
Yeah, we've been wanting to talk about handhelds for a while, but we don't know anything.
We don't know enough.
I don't have very much experience.
This is perfect.
It's awkward to talk about them in public. It's embarrassing.
Sorry, we won't judge you.
Some of them are awkward to wear in public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Chris, I don't know where you want to go with this. If you want to start from early stuff, you want to talk about your collection.
Well, what about like handhelds that kind of piqued your interest?
Well, I mean, like the fucking anecdote that like kind of kicks it all off really goes back to when I was at university. I mean, I wanted Game Boys and shit like that when I was a kid,
right?
And they were expensive, right? Like, you know, I don't know how much they were here, maybe like $99, but they were like £99 in the UK. Mm. And for a Game Boy at some point. And I don't know, like I just didn't get one for a long time and kind of wanted that shit. And then basically when I was at university, I happened to be wandering around in London. I was visiting a girlfriend at the time. Basically kind of out... So I was walking through Portobello Road Market buying bread. If there is nothing more British than that,
gonna need some beans for that bread, young man.
Yeah, I say there was the bootmaker and the candlestick maker on the corner, but like I was fucking buying some bread. But anyway, long and short of it is this little old lady kind of came wandering out of the crowd and said, "Hey, do you want to come to a casting for?" Like a modeling gig?" And I was like, penniless student at the time, super sick, growing myself a massive beard, generally looking like uninviting. So I was like, well, either I'm going to earn a lot of money or get my kidneys harvested. So I don't know, I was around for the weekend. I went along to this thing. Turns out it was full of beautiful people who weren't me. And I sat there and they took people in one after another. There was a load of girls. There was a load of guys. Everybody was playing video games in this big reception hall. And when I went in, they were like, well, this is the thing that we are going to be advertising. And they gave me a Pocket Neo Geo Color. And I mean, I looked at this thing, you know, having had a bit of a love of like handheld games consoles. And I was just like, this is the future. This is insane. And then they were like, well, don't worry about it. You're going to be the male guy. We just had to bring other people in. So can you go out there and pick the girl that you like?
Oh, shit.
We'll do this thing. And I was like,
that's sure. a typical weekend for me and Eric.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically.
It doesn't happen very often, but yeah, you have to jump on those ones. So, you know, like I took the risk. The kidneys were still where they were supposed to be. So I went back out. There was one of these particular girls that had been more friendly than the other ones because she happened to come from like my manor. And we ended up doing the shoot together and playing Pocket Neo Geo and stuff like that. And then just by chance, when I went back to the city that I was living in, Coventry in England, I just happened to be wandering through a different market. Right, seems to be a bit of a cliche with me wandering around markets.
Well, hold on a second.
Teenager,
did you get laid by the first girl or what?
No, obviously not. But you know,
all right, hold on. Like, did you let her win?
I should have had a better story for that, but no.
That's all right. Don't lie to us.
Did you let her win? Well, were you playing something competitive?
We were playing something competitive, but I will tell you, and some of the boys there have seen the photo of this, but. Actually during the photo shoot, the sort of art director on the shoot was like, can you to the young lady that was sitting with me, they're like, can you just undo your trousers and just ease them down a little bit, as if it's like undo your pants, basically push them down a little bit. And yeah, she was like a smoking hot 20-year-old model, and I was just like, okay, I've drunk too much. I'm sitting here. I'm not a professional. So, yeah, so it kind of got awkward, but yeah, I went home with my money that night. So, but yeah, so then when I got home, I happened a few weeks later to just wander through a market. And this was before anybody was collecting handheld stuff, anybody was collecting retro stuff. And there was just a Game Gear sitting on a shelf in its box, wrapped up. And I was just like, that's fucking cool. I wanted one of those. So I went and bought it. It was like $30. Mm. And a couple of weeks later, there was a Game Boy there in its box, brand new, totally wrapped up. So I bought that as well. And it started with like, it would be really cool to have the five handhelds that there are on a shelf or something. And then anyway, a year or two later, eBay happened. And I realized that there was bloody hundreds of the things, and I had to start hunting them down and finding out what was what. I mean, they're tiny little computers. It was so cool. You know, compared to the laptops and everything else around at the time, they were fucking cool.
Yeah.
Cool little things. Yeah.
Yeah. How many do you have in your collection at this point?
20-year-old models. How many? Go ahead.
So, so for my collection, because I just can't get into like the Game & Watch thing. It's way too cliquey, way too high class for me. So, I kind of define like handhelds as something that you can remove media from, you know, or put games onto.
Okay.
And I think I've got close to around 170 right now.
Oh my god!
Wow. Like, whoa.
I didn't even know they made. Seriously? I didn't even know they made fucking 50.
Yeah, and by the way, if you got to check out Chris's YouTube channel,
yes,
Pocket Legion. Okay, now in the background, Chris, I love how you have all the handhelds on cases. It looks incredible, and I'm jealous when
I
see it.
Yeah, big fucking ram raided IKEA while they were having a sale in those glass cases $20 each.
No, it shows them off well.
Give me 50 cases.
Do you have any stars that like that you like? Ones that you fucking love?
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple, and it's really, I mean, right now, if you look out there in the handheld world, you kind of got your Nintendos and stuff like that, and the Vita is slowly, you know, like the shadow is cast on that one. It's going away, and people aren't really making them anymore. So now there's just like waves and waves of emulator handhelds basically coming out of all different places in Asia and Russia and places like that. So that's what's going on now. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like the stars, I think the Adventure Vision might be like the pinnacle of my collection.
All right.
The Adventure Vision is basically, so it was a fully licensed console made by Entex, and every game, of which there are only four, were all licensed games. So there's like Defender, Super Cobra, Turtles, and Space Force, which is basically kind of I suppose Arkanoid or something like that. Mm-hmm. Came out on that console. But what's so special about this thing is it's powered by batteries. It has these cartridges which have like little holders in the top to put the things in. But the display is a spinning mirror about the size of a packet of cigarettes.
Huh.
So this thing, it was like 1983, 1984, electromechanical technology, LEDs, which weren't even a thing at the time at all. So it uses this row of LEDs to project onto a spinning mirror.
Okay.
In the middle of it. And they only made about 50,000 of these things.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think they think that most of them got destroyed on Christmas morning that year because people just fucking dropped them and they just stopped working, or they just shattered, or that was it and they mm-hmm. were gone.
Huh.
But I actually, after maybe 15 years of leaving an eBay search open, like one showed up on eBay last year and I just fucking closed my eyes and hit the please give it to me button until it came through. But
so that's super rare then, huh? Super rare.
Yeah, very, very rare. Very, very rare. And then, there's a bunch of like little highlights, and like they're all highlights because they're fucking weird, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Omni Family Game Center, which is it only hits the definition of a handheld in that you can pick it up and walk around with it, but it takes 8 tracks and does like crazy fast forwarding and rewinding to on the go, like ask you questions and you have to answer them while you're playing. So that's pretty fucking cool. And then there's the Vectrex, which like in Japan when that came out, was marketed as a shoulder mounted games console.
Shoulder mounted?
That's ridiculous.
What does it weigh?
Is it it's like I don't know,
not a lot.
Five or ten kilograms, maybe. Okay. If, like, it's heavy. I mean, it's
like 22 pounds.
Right? I was about to say, what's that in American? Yeah. I don't have a, no shit.
Yeah, shit, man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a few bags of sugar, but
it's like, bad for your neck, huh?
But the fact that, like, it was marketed as something you're supposed to carry on your shoulder
like a boombox.
Boombox, yeah. Right, and, like, walk around with. But what I love about that is, firstly, you're looking into an oscilloscope. So you've got, like, 30 to 45 minutes before you start to damage your retinas looking into it if you have it cranked up. They actually made, like, a sort of a VR imager for it, which I recently managed to lay my hands on, which essentially spins a disc up to about 120 RPM, like right here in front of your face, right in front of your eyes. That's healthy. Is a naked spinning disc.
Holy shit.
Like, and half of the disc is black, so it rotoscopes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of it is the colored gels that you would otherwise stick on the front of the Vectrex. But this thing had, like, light pens. It had all kinds of weird shit like that. But I mean, there's so many. There's like the Microvision, which was a pre-80s handheld, came out in the US and in France. And the thing, I mean, it comes in a leather sock. and it has a Pong dial on the front of it. And basically, you snap the whole front of the console off and slap on another whole game. And they had, like, Breakout, there's, like, Star Trek, again, like, licensed games, crazy licensed games, you know, like Star Trek and shit like that on there, you know. So for me, it's just a fascination with these, like, tiny little computers and being able to take that shit with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the one thing that they all have in common is the games can, you know, they never quite achieve what you really want them to, but, you know, they're all fucking little beautiful gems in their own right. Mm-hmm. So
I was watching your channel, and you were playing one of the LED type games. It was, I think it was hockey and basketball. And you were demoing the game, and you're like, I have no idea what the hell's going on here. But, like, kids got that for Christmas, and you had to have, like, you know, your imagination when you were a kid playing those games back in the day. You had to really use it.
Well, yeah.
There's a couple out there. There's one, so I can't remember which one that might be. It might have been the Konic Multisport, but, I mean, yeah, at some point, you know, when your handheld experience wasn't like Mario Brothers. At some point, you were looking at, like, a black screen with a piece of colored plastic slapped over the top of it, and, like, a red light bulb flashing.
Yeah.
And you were just like, yeah, man, I'm playing American football. I'm living the fucking dream.
Right. It's like the world.
It's kind of like rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exactly. when I watch your channel on YouTube, I think to myself, what does your wife think about all your collection?
Well, God bless her. She is probably the reason why the channel exists. Basically, when I left the UK a few years ago, I'd kind of, like, broached a couple of ways to, like, share this. I mean, like, before, I don't know, maybe, like, 2011, 2010, maybe, I hadn't done anything with these guys. Like, when something came up on eBay that I was, like, fascinated, I would, like, buy it, play with it a little bit, put it back in its box, wrap it up, chuck it in a big box of other handhelds. And I'd never really looked at them all together. And then a few things came together, and somebody was like, why didn't you do like a photo shoot? Like, do you guys have, like, Stuff magazine, you know, gadget magazines, that kind of shit out here?
Like Popular Mechanics? Or no, not like that.
You know, like where they sell, like, consumer stuff, you know.
Yeah. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, stuff like that.
That kind of thing, right? So, somebody was like, why don't you do, like, a photo shoot with all of these, you know, like, get yourself some models, get yourself some people to, like, come and, like, model these things and actually take pictures of them.
Can you see him, like, with a virtual boy on, like, a bearskin rug? Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too far from the truth. I have a virtual boy, and, like, that's a crazy thing. That thing shuts itself down after 30 minutes because it actually advertises when you turn it on, it's going to hurt your eyes and your brain.
Yeah.
So it shuts itself down after 30
minutes.
I had
a headache for 3 days after I used it.
Oh, you played one before?
Yeah, my buddy Troy had one back in the day.
Oh, really?
And yes, damaged retinas, and I had a headache for like 3 days.
Really?
I attribute it to that. I can't imagine what else it would have
had
been.
Had to have been.
Had to have been. I was young, you know.
You pissed your pants, forgot who you were for half an hour.
That's right. I woke up,
Is that fucking Randy Quaid?
That's a Christmas story. Yeah. But, I ripped that off.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way to play a Virtual Boy is laying flat on your back in a darkened room and like just lay it on your face. It's the only way. But anyway, don't ask about that.
Some people got to pay a lot of money to have that. You know what I mean?
Well, so I like tried a couple of things. So this thing came together, and I actually did this photo shoot with all of the consoles, and we started kind of I was sharing them around. We were going to do like try and build a website out of it, try and make it into like a magazine thing. Didn't start to pan out. Anyway, everything went back in the box. I left the UK, left it all in my my father-in-law's attic, and then my wife went home last year. We were living in Montreal. She went back to the UK. And she contacted me while she was there and said, there's water coming through the roof and it's pouring onto all your toys.
Toys, how dare toys. Those are collectors. I
watch her like push it under the water. Yeah. It's like, thank God. Yeah. Get rid of this.
Sorry about
it
that.
All broke.
Yeah.
So I mean, these boxes, like, I'd kind of like figured that, I didn't know what I was going to do with them. I'd started collecting way more stuff when I was in North America. And so they were like wrapped up in cellophane. They had bin bags wrapped around them and stuff. So they were okay. But I was just like, oh, fuck it. Just whatever it costs, like wrap them up, send them on DHL. I'll open them up in Montreal and we'll figure out like what's left. Mm-hmm. And when they got there, I like got it all out. And it was like the worst power of shame ever. It was like admitting a gambling addiction to my wife.
You know what you should have done before you shipped them? You should have wrapped them in like Christmas paper. So when you open them up again, it's like Christmas morning all over again. Yeah,
it was. Well, the most awkward thing about that was like they arrived in customs in Montreal, and I'd bought a few consoles and just one of these IKEA cabinets to put them in. And I just happened to have a picture of it on my phone. And I went down to this place and they were like, you owe us, I think it was like $2,500 of like customs money. And I was like, no, I didn't buy these. These are my collection. And they're right. Like, no idiot has this many things. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. And I found this picture on my phone, showed it to them, and they were like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. Just take the shit.
They're holding them in a room under a lamp with
like,
a mirrored wall.
They're like Carson Abbott in French. They're like, hey, Pierre, look at this guy.
Yeah. Typical model. So I got home and I started unpacking them, and then my wife was looking at them and she was like, what the fuck are you going to do with all this stuff? Which is quite often her response to things in my life. hey, we're going to go move to another country, or fuck it, something else is going on. But yeah, she basically said, what are you going to do with it? And I toyed around with it and I was like, well, at least if I can't do anything else, I can show other people that these things exist. Because usually when I start talking about it, the first response is the same as yours, is I had no idea these things existed, let alone anything else. Basically, yeah, my wife was like, well, what are you going to do with these? And I kind of thought to myself, well, if I can't do anything else, I can kind of maybe share them with the world, just like, you know, show people what doesn't exist out there. There's some terrible stuff. There's amazing stuff out there. And,
I was going to ask you, what's the shittiest console that you have?
Anything by Tiger Electronics.
Oh, I was going to say that. That was a scam around the world.
Oh,
and that's what I had as handheld when I was a kid.
Yeah, and your relatives didn't know any better, so they bought you them for Christmas.
They didn't know.
I had this fucking Ninja Turtles one. It was so fucking bad.
I had a Simon's Quest one, and it was a nightmare.
Was it worse than the NES game?
Oh, my God, yes.
I guess it had to be, right?
Yeah,
there were no colors or anything.
Yeah,
just
it was
black
horrible.
Lines,
horrible.
Yeah.
However, I had a fishing one. It was fun. Yeah, I used to play
really?
It all the time.
Captivating.
Oh,
yeah. It was fun.
It was
really?
Like, it was like a reel.
Fun.
To reel
was
it in.
It
the thing.
Fun?
It
did,
was,
it, did it actually have a reel?
Yes.
I mean,
oh,
yeah.
It
was one of the things.
Yeah, it like vibrated.
Oh, wait, you're serious?
Yeah.
It had a reel?
Yeah.
It was advanced.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all
right. You see, that's the thing, right? Every one of these handhelds is like almost uniquely built for the games or things that it does. I mean, yeah, that was the thing. Like, I used to get the Tiger Electronics ones for Christmas because, yeah, people were like, oh, He wants a Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This is a game that you hold in your hands.
Here's a game, boy.
Here's a game.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a game.
Yeah, one tenth of the cost.
Yeah.
Probably less.
But, I mean, you know, there's a couple of companies like Systema, Systema used to make a load of games, and they, like, the reason why I asked about whether it actually had a reel is they were like, they used to make a lot of games which were shaped around what the actual game was, you know. Mm-hmm. If it was a fishing thing, it was a fishing reel. If it was like a space thing, it would be a space simulator. Tomy did that. I mean, they brought out the Tomytronic, 3D Tomytronic. Mm-hmm. I suppose it was like the kind of first 3D handheld game for kids. I mean, you, like, they were like a shield shaped little console that you looked into, and yeah, like, basically there was like a sort of 3D image because like light shone in the top of it, and you'd play this like shitty LCD game. Okay. But like, fuck it, man, people would drop like $50 on that. Yeah. In like the mid 80s, you know. Mm. So I think that absolute worst, and it's like a legacy almost, is the PCP stations or the pop stations.
Okay.
So they're like a they came out of Asia, out of somewhere deep and dark and far away, right in like the sort of legacy factories in China where they used to make LCD games, and then they started making other stuff, but there were these factories tooled up for LCD games, and they just carried on making them, and they've made them into everything. So they're usually a console where you can like pop the screen out, and the screen is actually the whole LCD game, and then you like snap a whole new one into the console. Oh. But they've made ones that are like ripoffs of PlayStation 2s that stand up on their end, and the disc drive comes out and it's got a game fucking wedged in there. They've made ones that look like Nintendo DSs, which, I mean, can you imagine how disappointed you are? Yeah. Christmas morning, little Johnny opens up the wrapper. It's like, oh, mummy, amazing, a DS. And you open it up and it's a pop station. And
just kidding.
Yeah, it's just a pop station.
You get to play a game like...
Can I trade this in for an N-Gage, Mom?
Yeah.
I saw the other day online, there was a... I think it came out earlier this year. It might have even been last year. But Target was selling a Oregon Trail handheld.
Really?
That looked like an old school computer, and it only played Oregon Trail.
Really?
Yeah. I'd never even heard of it, but apparently it was exclusive to Target.
Why do I want that?
And I think it came out. I think the article
was... Why do I want that?
I'm sure there's an Oregon Trail app.
I actually picked one up.
Did you really? I'm not surprised.
I want to know, was the grass adequate?
Tell us.
I died of dysentery real quick.
Inadequate grass.
How is it? Is it... I mean, it's just like a little... emulator.
It's really weird. So there's a couple of things that like have been Walmart Target reissues in the last year or two. So you guys have probably seen all like the little mini arcade cabinets that have been coming out, and they're like just single game,
right?
And the first wave of those were like LCD, so it was like Pac-Man with LCD,
right?
Which is kind of shit. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, like, you need to, you know, the whole thing about Pac-Man is the resolution of the, like, the walls and the maze and everything moving around. And you, seeing that represented by single frames of stuff moving around was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second wave were more like Pi type computers running them.
Okay.
Just burnt onto a single chip. There was a whole series that came out where there was four or five games, and people cottoned onto the fact really quickly that the board inside had all of the games in this whole series on, and so there was just a breaker. They would just move a breaker chip inside, and it would make a different game load depending on like when you started the thing up.
Okay, so the Oregon Trail one that has other games on it.
No, so the Oregon Trail one was the first one that I'm aware of where it was just a custom-made handheld just for that game. Like, they actually sculpted the console around the look of the game, and it is a perfect replica of the original game. It's fucking brilliant.
I'm looking at it right now. $25. I want it.
Are they still available?
$25? Yeah. I don't care.
So you can walk into a Target right now and buy one.
Listen, guys. Like, it's before 1 o'clock in the morning. You guys could find a Walmart or a Target.
Oh yeah, 24 hours. You know,
we got to get one before this podcast comes out, because when this comes out,
we're reviewing the Oregon Trail again. Once handheld edition.
If people get wind of it, it's over.
I cannot wait to hack it and then put number munchers on that motherfucker.
Fucking all right? Number munchers. Love it.
Awesome. If you look at the YouTube channels, there's loads of people that are taking those and they're doing soft mods to them and just like loading emulators on and just, you know, because they're really cool little consoles otherwise. I mean, it's they're reasonably powerful. They're totally underutilized, just putting a single game on them as well.
Oh, so you can put more onto that thing.
You what, mate? Oh, yeah, you can.
I'm sure it has a bigger hard drive than 53 kilobytes.
Yeah, right, true.
Is Oregon Trail that big?
Some of them, when they opened them up, they found that they had SD card slots just like built onto the, welded onto the board. Not necessarily the Oregon Trail one, but some of those little mini arcade cabinets and that, they were set up essentially like the chip was from something else. I mean, that's how all these things get made. I mean, you know, there's a circuit board laying around. They get burnt. They put it out there, and then it's probably the same circuit board that exists inside a piece of hardware for something totally different as well.
I'm gonna get one of these.
How are we gonna recycle these old boards?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Huh.
Exactly.
So there's a lot more stuff coming out. Like
I got
that.
Something
like
new to play on
like,
the shitter.
I don't know why did they pick the Oregon Trail. I mean, the Oregon Trail is great. It's fun to sit around.
Why
and
not?
Play.
Why not?
What
right.
else? What else is out there? Just like the Oregon Trail, does company make other stuff?
Number Munchers.
Did they make Number Munchers? That doesn't exist.
I would think.
What are you talking about?
I would think Carmen San Diego, but then you'd have to negotiate with Broderbund. I don't even think they make software anymore. I think they make database.
Right.
Or
what did you guys dogs. Play the Oregon Trail on originally?
Apple II.
Yeah, Apple IIs. Yeah, Apple back IIs, in the day. Yeah.
So, I mean, in the UK, we were playing on fucking BBC Micros and that's literally what we played that on. So I hadn't seen that game in years, but I remembered that like it was yesterday and
sure.
it's exactly the same.
Yeah. We did it in Oregon
Trail. And this year I drove the Oregon Trail for the first time ever.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah, in real life, straight out of Seattle, I just drove south. Tried to die of dysentery.
I was going
to
say,
manage it. Yeah.
You didn't have a wagon fire and then caulk the river.
Broke a wagon tongue. Yeah.
Go down to the dallies.
I tried. It didn't happen.
No, the Oregon Trail hasn't changed. I mean, you can play it on a browser. When we did a show, I don't know if you heard this show we did, man. Chris, it was a train wreck of a show.
It was.
We did an Oregon Trail show a year and a half ago or so.
Stoned out of our mind.
Stoned out of our mind. And we had we kept logs and we read our logs of our travels. But I think I played the game on a browser. I didn't even play, you know, I didn't play a ROM or anything.
What do you want, a cookie?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, it's out there if you
first
want
first prize.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can play wherever.
Oh, yeah, it's free everywhere, yeah.
Are you offended by that, Roy, that I played it on a browser?
I played it on a browser.
He's mad because he gave you the ROM.
I think that's what it is.
Exactly.
On over there.
I wanted you to play the goddamn EXE.
I played the original, the one you
I made you a bat file.
It was easier on a
browser. No, I made you a bat file, Ryan.
He worked hard on that bat file.
You got bat file, you bastard.
Chris is leaving. That's what you did, Roy.
He's so offended. Shit. Sick of your shit.
All right,
I just wanted to bring something up. So I found this recently. So this is called the Game Machine.
Whoa.
Okay.
What year is this from?
And this is Waddington's, and it's from 2001.
What a great name.
And,
this is Game Machine.
Yeah.
Game Machine.
Can we patent that?
Yeah.
That thing looks
huge. They actually write on the box that it's a deluxe games console model, and they actually put the inches on there. So it's 11 by 6.25 inch by 5.5 inches. I mean, like... Who fucking writes that on a box?
This is what you have to deal with.
The games, this is what gets me about the games, is at some point somebody had to sit in a room with a bunch of executives and like convince them to spend money on making this fucking thing. Right. Because the games come on pieces of cardboard that you slot through this thing and you drag it through and it programs.
No,
like,
really?
What?
So, well, that's all part of the fun.
Like, cardboard, is it made intentionally to fail?
Yeah, pretty
so you
much.
Have to buy a new one, right?
Yeah. He's showing us a picture of the box right now.
Yeah, for everyone
saying.
Who's listening, yeah. So there's 6 games on it, is that it?
So there's 4 games 4. That come with it, and the instructions, I mean, it actually says on the front, turn computer on, it's ready to operate when it signals beep, 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 beep. Like you imagine you're 6 years old and you get that you get that for your birthday.
Wait a minute, was
like,
that 5 beats or 6?
What
six?
Does 3 beats mean?
What the and you wonder what did something like that cost even when it came out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Probably
you
gotta
pay
overpriced.
A printer for every letter. That's hysterical.
That's true. Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's
like Morse code.
This has got I've just realized this has got a Toys R Us
oh
label
God,
on
it.
Oh
my God, it does.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Toys R Us.
Is there a price on it?
No wonder
no,
you're
just
gone.
The tag.
Toys R Us label, $39.95.
Wow.
And this was what, 91 you said?
01.
It says 01, but this must be way older than that. I mean, I think this, honestly, I think this, oh no, sorry, copyright 1978.
Oh, okay, all right, that makes more
they
sense.
Decided to sell it, no one. They're like, let's get rid of this
like,
fucking thing.
$40 though in 1978. That's like that $300 now.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Cardboard cartridges. Are you fucking kidding me?
Programmable. Well, made the punch fail. Cards.
We could have came up with something
made
like that.
Fail. Yeah,
computers
yeah.
used to use punch
That's
cards.
True. Yeah.
You know.
Did you guys ever play the Game Boy swipe card? The Game Boy swipe card player thing.
No.
Okay, so there was a cartridge released for the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance. You put it in, and it basically turned it into a kind of like shopping swipe card reader. And then you could go and buy packs of like gum cards, you know, where you got like a piece of gum and I don't know, football cards in the past. But these would be like you go and buy gum cards, Nintendo gum cards, and then you would get pieces of a game. So, for instance, like Mario Brothers would come on like 12 cards, and you'd have to get all 12 of those cards.
To play the fucking game?
You had to scan all, because each one had like a 12th of the data for the game.
Oh. Yeah, and there was basically like a kind of a barcode on the back, and you just swipe each one at a time.
Unbelievable.
They couldn't think of a more efficient way to do that? What the fuck?
Well, of course you could like go and buy the game, but what was really interesting about it was like a Game & Watch game could fit on a single card.
Yeah.
So they'd sell like packs of those, but they'd also sell like much bigger games as well on like multiple packs of cards. Yeah, it was like a fucking really weird thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I still like hang around and actually sort of keep an eye on what Nintendo's doing. You know, the whole thing recently with the cardboard boxes and that whole thing is just nuts.
Yeah, that's wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I would use it too much, but I think for kids, if I had that thing when I was a kid, I would think that was awesome.
Yeah.
Until you broke it.
Until I broke it.
Or got
it
wet.
That's another thing. It's like, yeah, we made it of the cheapest possible material, so you have to buy a new one for your kids, because you know they're putting marker all over it and crushing it.
Yeah, the big thing when I was a kid was batteries. So everything worked Christmas Day and Christmas week, but once the batteries ran out, that was it. Whatever the fuck
you never
batteries,
played it again. Yeah.
Yeah, once the batteries were done, that was all.
We have money for the Game Boy. We don't have money for batteries to keep it working. Right.
Well, that was it, because your parents were like, yeah, shit, I have to drop $60 on batteries again. You know what I mean?
You know what? Today, all this, like, all these old consoles, all the Magic and stuff like that, they don't come out with stuff like that today, obviously, because everything's, you know, consolidated on devices like that. The Razer phone.
Sure.
That I saw on your show.
Huh.
So these are all nice gadgets, but it kind of sucks that this won't happen again. You know, with all these,
a lot of these projects, sorts of different kinds.
Yeah, a lot of these products suck, like the Tiger Electronics and stuff like that.
Right.
And the whole wave of all these, like, very odd consoles, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It kind of sucks.
Oh, does it?
I don't want to be a Christine Contrary, but I'm not totally sure about that.
Yeah.
Like, I think the sort of novelty is like the necessity or the marketing behind this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like they can release so many Game Boys, so many DSs. They can put so many different skins on top of these things and people will continue to buy them. But then something like the Pokemon Mini will come along, or the Game Boy Micro something like that. Like they'll throw like a spin on it. Mm. And the spin in itself has got so much like value in its own novelty that people will just get on top of it. There was a console that I got recently, and it was kind of a weird one because I'd never heard of the company before. It's called Caliphone, and basically it was like $12 or something. So I just fucking ordered it because the thing about it was it came with a pair of like extremely unusual headphones, which were like beige. And they kind of like fit over your ears, and they have like really nice like leather earpieces. And I was like, That is a very strange thing to put in a box with this otherwise like fairly generic looking kind of handheld. And when it arrived, like I pulled it apart and I started researching this company, Caliphone, and it turns out that they're like an educational business which sells extremely high-end audio equipment to schools and universities and shit like that. And then I looked up the model of these headphones, and it's a model that like went out of print basically a year ago. So like I'm kind of figuring that they maybe put together these headphones that they had warehouses full of with some very super cheap console that they had like bought from somewhere else,
right?
And just fucking packaged them and sold them out. But that in itself, like, you know, and I'll figure it out, and eventually, you know, like I'll do a YouTube video on it or something. But that will have its own little story to it, you know, just the same way that like a Pokemon mini console does, or I don't know. I mean, there's weird shit that, I mean, I've actually started to search for things like handheld games console from Russia. Games console
searching the world
from,
far and away.
From like Brazil.
Exotic shit.
You're in a dark place.
Yeah, you're digging out.
I'm in the wrong end of the internet, but at least it's the wrong end of the internet. And if my wife walks in, it doesn't mean divorce.
Right.
There you go.
That's awesome, man. So, on your Pocket Legion show, you have any new episodes coming out, or?
Yeah, so yeah, I had a little break, like the move, and the move kind of like put away some stuff. So I need to kind of get it all fired up again. But yeah, it's coming out again. I'm hoping by the end of November, I'm going to be able to put a few new Pocket Legions out there. I'm toying around with a new format for it, which is a bit shorter and a bit more snappy. And I'm kind of hoping to get a few more guests on. I've got a couple of sort of sponsors as well that have come on board. They start sending me stuff, and so now I'm morally and financially obliged to to at least show, like, look at that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's a hobby, and you know, it's just one of those like fun things that get to share another like aspect of gaming and stuff like that with people.
Right. You got to keep the test though at the end. You're always going to have this, does it fit in the pocket?
Oh yeah, man. The fucking pocket of judgment will always be there.
I love that. Right. And almost none of the shit you put on there fits in a pocket.
Oh no. Yeah. No way.
Like none of it.
Yeah.
None of it.
Not yet. I mean, like you probably noticed if you looked at the episodes that I've done so far, I mean, I'm like, Because it's quite a cathartic thing, and I'm enjoying, you know, looking at my collection and sharing that with people.
Yeah,
I'm starting with a lot of the weirder stuff as well, and like the less practical things, and you know, at some point, you know, I'm gonna get to I'm gonna have to do like a season of Game Boys at some point, because there's fuckloads of them. I need to get through all of those.
I bet.
Look at all the differences and stuff.
All the different versions of them.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine managed to get me a super cool DS, the Ambassador Edition, that, I don't know, you needed to make a deal with several different deities, collect every physical Nintendo console forever, and then redeem all of those points in one go on the Nintendo store, and you got the opportunity, you were invited then to buy this thing. But the Ambassador Edition, and it's like why it has these removable face plates. It's a different size console than the other DSs as well. Like, that guy is just sitting pristine in a box right now, and I need to get that out.
Yeah.
You have to write an essay on why you deserve it. Dicks. Sell me one. Yeah. Just sell me one, you creep.
Yeah, it's almost like buy that Ford GT. Yeah, right.
All right, that's it.
All right, Chris. Well, I tell you what, we really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
This has been a great time.
Very informative.
Yeah,
thank you. Ooh, nice.
Ended cool. Here. So you have the Pocket Legion show. You check it out on YouTube. Anything else you want to throw out there, people to get in touch with you? Or
no, well, I'm kind of limited to that right now. But like, you know, you check out the HoloLens. Go and play Star Wars Battlefront 2. Don't worry too much about the microtransactions. They fix that now.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's a shame.
Keep playing video games, and just remember that all us guys really do give a shit about what you guys think, you know, like,
no, yeah,
absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
We know you had nothing to do with the microtransactions.
Yeah,
you kind of, you know, fell on the bad part of that.
I was never quoted ever on a public stage talking about that.
No, don't worry, this isn't very public.
All right, well, we're gonna close it out. Chris, stay on the line.
Thank you very much.
Mike, hit the music. All right. You can find us on Facebook, Emulate This, on Twitter, at Emulate This. Check out our website, emulatethis.net. Check out Chris's YouTube channel, Pocket Legion, for all your handheld needs. Until next time, we'll see you for Emulate This.
Peace.